systems have refused to sell equipment to let disabled voters cast ballots without help in Leon County. Elections supervisor Ian Sancho has been outspoken about his concern that the devices can be easily manipulated to change race outcomes. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Screaming's fine by me. And it's not like there's nothing to scream about. It's Thursday night, Thursday afternoon, perhaps, for you. And God almighty, pick something to scream about. We don't have to scream. We can cuss and discuss if you'd like. This is, after all, conversation radio. A reinvention of the format, if you will. The conversation that this nation desperately needs. And, we're the conversation that we're trying to provide. So, you know, you know the drill. What you've got to say is every bit as important as anything that I might blab about. You heard the phone number there. I'll repeat it. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Email equally easy at bob@headonradio.com. Now, where do you want to start this evening? Where do I want to start this evening? Okay, we all understand that I'm not in the business of telling you what to do, where to go, when to do it, how to do it, or anything like that. But I was provided a link. Now, don't run off and watch this during the show. This is a trust thing between us, okay? Oh, and by the way, this is Agnes Free Radio for at least the next hour or so because my darling wife is off at parent-teacher conferences at school. It's, you know, baseball season, end of school, that kind of thing. So she won't be taking your calls at least until she gets here. Metaphysically, I'm sure you understand. Now, I was sent a link to a film. Maybe you guys are so far ahead of the curve that I'm telling you something you already know. But at the website for the Sundance Film Festival, sundance.org, I believe it is. Here, I'll double-check the address. You want to watch this thing. Not right now. Like I said, it's honor system here. No running off and watching the movie during the radio program. Because it's gonna take up all your bandwidth, and then I'm talking to electrons. But anyway, this particular film is called Ha 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 America. Festival.sundance.org/2006. Festival.sundance.org/2006. I think you will have, in some ways, the same visceral reaction to this film that you might have gotten watching something, perhaps one of the 9/11 films. It's humorous, it's funny, but by the end of this film, which is about, 30 minutes long or so, it's not going to be so funny anymore. Watch it. After the show's over, or, you know, whenever you're done listening to whatever it is you listen to, God knows, I waited till Malloy was over last night before I watched it. But you do want to see this. Because if you run back to that little pamphlet, that wee tract that was cranked out in the late 18th century that lovingly goes by the name Constitution of the United States of America, and you read the passage on the only crime that is defined within the four corners of the Constitution, you will find, the only crime is treason. And you will come away from this film with a pretty good idea that somebody's been committing treason and getting away with it. Never mind stupid books by people like Anthrax Coulter on treason, my left hind foot. Now, this is the real stuff. Ha, 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 America. I'm very grateful to our friend CB in Northern California who sent this along to me. I've watched it once. I've watched it twice. I'm going to watch it again. I'm probably going to watch it over and over and over again. Festival.sundance.org/2006 and then look for Ha 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 America. You're not... Well, how do I know what your response is going to be? But at any rate, have a look at this later, because it's it all ties in with some of the stuff. You know, we it's about keeping our eye on the ball, isn't it? That was said a couple of nights ago on the program, that we as progressive liberals are so thoroughly daily confronted with nightmare after horror after travesty after insult that it's tough for us to keep our anguish and our anger and our passion and our intellect focused. And that's completely understandable. But once you've watched this and gotten your mind around the message that it is sending, and it doesn't send it. it drives a railroad common spike with a cotton picking sledgehammer. But if you watch this and then you compare it with the so-called immigration debate, this big old nasty fraud, this con that is being foisted off on the people of the United States of America, otherwise unwitting except for us, you know, us smart people, progressive liberals, Democrats, Greens. You will come away, oh boy, we're being conned. And not just a little bit. Great big con. It's up to us whether or not we buy it. Because the fact of the matter is, while we're sitting here worried about people who are being made to work for less than minimum wage in many instances, you know, sleeping in outbuildings, eating just short of dirt, and the Republican Party is trying to tell us that they are the problem. They are the problem. Meanwhile, a couple of thousand miles away, there's a country that has more English speakers than the United States, that has more people employed by U.S. corporations than the United States. Oh, but it's the Mexicans, right? Oh, God. I mean, it's the feeling you get when you walk away from the little midway games, you know, with the poorly weighted darts or the ping pong balls that won't go in the little fish bowls. And you get, boy, I just got ripped off. You know, the carnival feeling. And the carny's sitting there scratching his head going, wow, boy, he's a big sucker, huh? Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't get $100 out of him. I'll get that balloon next time. That's the feeling immigration debate. And, Bill Frist, running for president from the floor of the United States Senate, bemoaning the bill that was passed out of the Immigration Committee, or the Judiciary Committee, rather. Oh, this is an amnesty. Well, we're just going to let all kinds of brown people. My friends, we can't let these kind of brown people just come across the borders of the United States. And the other half of the con is George Bush after... You know, with his business, we got to have people that'll do jobs that American workers won't do. And that's a con, too, because we're talking about jobs putting on roofs and building buildings. You know, every Walmart in America that goes up, the minute that there are walls around it, the thing is filled with undocumented immigrant labor being paid substandard wages, no benefits, no health care, no workers' comp, no nothing, baby. And I don't think it's quite fair to say that those are jobs that Americans won't do. But we're talking about some of the hardest working people in America, and we need to help them be Americans. not guests, guest worker, my left hind foot, too. You don't, yeah, no. A guest is someone you treat as you would wish to be treated. A guest is someone you bring under your own roof and feed as well as you would wish to eat yourself, and pay as well as you wish to be paid yourself. Don't call these human beings, don't call them guest workers, because we don't treat them like guests. They are what they are, and what they are is slave workers. Under the Republican plan, as it is currently put forward, they are slave labor. Pure and simple. Now, when we come back, your phone calls are more than welcome, as always. Like I said, the number, the 877, number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm really looking forward to the discussion tonight. I think it's going to be a good one. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff, 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
Welcome back. All right, let's not waste any time here. Let's go straight to the telephone. There it is. You know, Agnes isn't here. Too many buttons. Hey, you're head on, Rick. How's it going?
Hey, really good, man. And I'm so sorry that I called to be first, because everybody should have got in line before me so I could maintain some modicum of credibility.
No, it's okay.
But I mean, just Agnes is not here. Matter of fact, while we were on break, I was thinking, like, maybe you should hire an intern. Then I thought, well, what if the Republicans sent in an intern that was, kind of like the kind that showed up at Clinton's house and she runs out screaming. And
well, see, that's the thing about hiring interns. It's critical word, hiring.
Yeah, I know. I just started thinking, well, I better not suggest that, you know, because, I mean, we don't need anybody else, you know, running into problems. But, I mean, the thing of it is that I wanted to comment on Jeff Sessions. Have you been watching C-SPAN today?
I got to admit, I'm a little bit off the ball today. What sort of horror has he perpetrated?
Well, in the last 45 minutes.
No, I definitely missed that.
Okay. Well, let me just point out that we have a love fest going on for illegal aliens with most Republicans and on one side, and then we've got the other side that's all about security and securing the borders, and then we've got the Democrats that it seemed to have adhered themselves to just lapping up the president's position of the guest worker program and all American workers be damned. Except one, that guy from one of the Dakotas there. South Dakota, I think it is?
Could be. Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, the dude, he's a Democrat. And he's around all the time. I want to say Durbin, but it was.
No, Kent Conrad?
No. No, the other guy.
Okay, the South Dakota. Okay, sure.
Yeah, well, you know who I'm talking about. He's always around.
Yeah.
So he actually stood up for something that was in between the two. And this guy is getting beaten, like, left and right. He's sending out, because I'm on his email list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are just slaughtering him. And he's thanking us for his support of us people that believe. He stood up for the American workers, what he did. And he stood up tree top tall. He quoted Ross Perot. He talked about people, the companies with the offshore accounts and everything like that. He did stand pretty tall for a change. So, but the guy that you gotta watch is Jeff Sessions, and he's been on for the last.
Oh, Jeff Sessions just makes me tear at my hair and run screaming around the room.
I think he's gay.
Oh well, I don't see you got to be careful with that, Rick, because.
I think he's gay.
No, there's
it's like when the bull queers in jail, you know, they hold you down, you know.
You're going to get me in trouble.
sorry.
No, hey, I don't.
He's not really gay. Okay.
No, I don't care. I don't care
he's
if he's
gay when he's in jail.
I don't care if he's gay or not. What he is a mealy mouthed little racist punk of the, you know, an unreconstructed Confederate for all practical purposes.
Yeah, he just bounces up on his toes all the time and acts so squirrely and creepy, and the things that he says, and everybody's paying him so much. It's like he's got this weird power. It must be some committees on or something like that. But people just worship. I mean, every time
Hey, Rick, this guy.
Huh?
Tell you a little secret.
What?
Republicans in Alabama.
Yeah.
Think that Jeff Sessions is a genius.
Really? Ha ha! Well,
yeah, no kidding.
What's a handicapped person?
he's awful. But it goes to show you how bad what has happened to the body politic in some parts of this nation.
I mean, the guy is an idiot.
We lack leaders, okay? Frankly, on both sides of the debate.
Oh yeah, man, we do. We so. But let me get down to it.
All right.
Jeff Sessions advocated today, in the last 60, 65 minutes, on the Senate floor, biometrics for all illegal aliens. Now, here's where it gets a little weird. Jeff Sessions is somehow connected to the very same company that did biometrics in Fallujah. Remember way back
then? Oh, yeah, I remember that whole thing.
Yeah, where they could only get in after they'd been fingerprinted and they end up getting an RFID chip in their arm,
right?
And all this stuff, and they had that was the only way they could get in. He's connected to that in some kind of weird, slinky, sleazy way. He doesn't like to talk about it, but he's got some of his benefactors, some of his, you know, they send him money. He's all part of that. So he comes out and he gets on the floor in the last 60, 65 minutes, and says that the only way that he would go with a guest worker program is if they had the biometrics, the biometric ID card, the biometric chip, so that they could track them every place they go and what they do. Now, here's where it gets really weird, okay? He also belongs and is affiliated to religious groups that believes that biometrics is part of the mark of the beast.
It's the mark of the beast. That's right, Brother Rick. Say hallelujah. Give me an amen.
Yeah. Amen. So this guy is trying to have it both ways. He gets out on the center floor in the last 65 minutes. And basically,
but wait, he's not trying to have it both ways, Rick. Slow down, brother. You might be missing some of it.
I might be.
He's not trying. The immigrants. You got to understand, they're going to hell anyway because most of them is Catholics.
And brown.
You know them Mary worshipers.
Yeah.
Them folks that worship that Pope in Rome, they going to hell anyway, so they might as well have the mark of the beast. It ain't gonna be no never mind to
He's
them.
Fulfilling his duty on his
Bingo.
Great plan, according to him.
And of course, the other part of it is we must all please bear in mind that this is a con. This is the good cop, bad cop thing you're talking about all
yes,
the time.
Absolutely.
This is George Bush on the one hand saying, we got to have people who will do the jobs that Americans won't do. And on the other hand, you get Pelosi
or somebody else like that.
Well, no, I'm talking about the Republicans. I'm not talking about, not Rick, we're not going there. I'm talking about the Republicans. On the one hand, you got George Bush with his little feel-good guest worker program for the people that'll do the jobs that Americans won't do, like building houses.
Uh-huh.
And on the other hand, you've got the really hateful, ugly, nasty little racists like Sessions and Sensenbrenner and Tom Tancredo, and their gig is to talk about this is the scourge, this will be the end of America, these brown people. So that way you get to play to those, boy, I tell you, this is a contradiction in terms. The somewhat enlightened people of the Republican Party, and I mean somewhat in very small letters, who say, well, this is compassionate conservatism. We're reaching out and we're going to have a guest worker program. And on the other hand, you've got the real hardcore Klansmen of the Republican Party. Oh, we're going to crack down and build us a fence.
Oh, well.
And so
and
that
went. And time you got Democrats slurping at the trough to doing oral sex on everyone.
Now, stop it, Rick.
Okay. Well, you know what I mean. You know which ones I'm talking about. But, okay. Can't go there.
No, I'm not saying you can't go there. I'm saying, again, it's what I said at the opening of the show. It's about taking our eye off the ball.
Yeah,
the problem,
the problem is
the Republican
Truman show. They're part of the same Truman show that's lying to us, and they're all in on it, but we're not.
Who's in the majority in Congress?
Yes, I understand that.
That's who's going to drive this bus. Mm-hmm. Now, among other things.
But what are we going to get if we get the majority? Those screw bags?
If
they're selling us down the river?
If it rains, we won't play baseball.
Yeah,
I mean you're worrying about stuff that's out there when there's a whole bunch of the future that's right now.
Fair enough. Because like I told you last night, me and my family is going to vote across the board Democrat. Against our better judgment, but we're going to do it because we're going to do it just to prove to all you guys out there that you can't win with this kind of mix. You need real Democrats. We need Kucinich Democrats, Edwards Democrats, Howard Dean Democrats. Those are Democrats. Those are the people that
I'm right there.
The party.
I'm right there. But right now, the legislation is not being driven by Democrats. We are
no,
in.
It's not. It's
all we Democrats. Can all we can do is respond.
Yeah, it's being driven by capos. I understand.
For instance, there was a bill that came out of the Senate Intelligence Committee today.
I'm sure every Jew that ever got slapped on the
and we
their,
came with we
one
came
of their own was happy.
No, we came
one
we
own.
Came within one vote of tying up NSA funding until Bush comes clean about his domestic spying program.
But that's the point. We came within one vote.
Right, but a Republican crossed the line, Rick.
Well, maybe. Maybe there's hope. I'm a little bit cynical.
Now, be cynical. No, you're not cynical, Rick. You're trying to operate with your eyes wide open. And that's the only way we can go.
Well, wasn't it the Republicans that said something like, the problem with you guys is you deal in reality, and you don't understand we create reality? Didn't they say something like that?
Absolutely. That was a couple of years ago. I read the article. It was in New York Times Sunday Magazine.
Yeah. I mean, when you're dealing with lunatics like that, that are so immersed in their own ego, how in the hell are you going to do anything else?
Well, have you seen Ha 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 America yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, you're going to see it, and you're going to realize what a con we're talking about here. There is... Please understand, this is the bottom line of this debate. There is no immigration problem.
Of course not. I said that to you. I sent you an email about that a week ago.
Right.
Remember what we were talking about?
Yeah, this is...
Not one war protest get any TV time, but this, and all of a sudden, here these people going out in the street, and it's wall-to-wall coverage.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Bush wanted a guest workers program.
Exactly. This is wrestling, Rick. This is pure and simple wrestling. That's what I keep talking about. You know, George Bush with his feel-good part, and then Bill Frist running for president on the floor of the Senate. Oh, we
Bill
can't.
Frist for president.
We
what a joke. That's like Allentown.
Hey, Rick, newsflash, buddy. I remember in 1998 when they started talking about George W. Bush for president, and people said, what a joke.
I bought shirts and put them on my kids that said there should be limits to freedom and sent them to school.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I swear.
But there were people out there, Rick, who thought it was a joke that a numbnuts like George Bush could ever be president of the United States. Do not laugh at the idea of President Frist.
Oh, God. It's going to take such a.
They got George Bush in, Rick.
Yes, but Frist has. He hasn't even got the likability factor going for him. He can't even play.
No. You got to understand, Republicans are done liking, Rick. They like George Bush, and George Bush is destroying their party.
You know, I just got done watching some great movies, and I want to recommend them to all you listeners and you, too. Are you a member of Netflix?
I'm too poor for Netflix.
Oh, for Pete's sake. You mean I'm going to... Well, okay. But here's the thing. Do me a favor, people. Go join Netflix for the cheapest one you can get, and just, you know, order one movie. It's called Hearts and Minds. It's about Vietnam.
No, I've seen that.
Have you seen it?
No, yeah.
Oh, good, and I don't have to convert it for you. I thought sure I would. But you know, everybody go out and watch that. Everything is parallel to what's happening right now. Right now, right in your face. And not to mention the bonus side of it is you're going to see all those things you saw in Life magazine or your history books or you've heard about, if you're very young, in motion picture, like the girl that got burnt by napalm, the guy they just blew away, shot him in the head. All these things, you're going to see this stuff, and you're going to see General Westmoreland talking about how...
These people don't value human life the way we do.
God, you did see it. Oh, man, you're an honest man. Yes, absolutely. I mean, you got to see this to be able to understand what's going on because these are the same people creating the same thing with the Iraqis, and they're getting ready to do it with the Iranians. Now, we can't save the dead Iraqis. We can't save them. They're gone. We can't save our American soldiers that have died there. They're gone. But we can save every Iraqi that's about to get clobbered.
Iranian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Iranian, that's about to get clobbered, and every one of our soldiers is going to be involved in that. And we can do that if you'll just go visit history. Start getting those documentaries and watching what Hitler did. Watch what they did in Vietnam. Watch what like President Johnson did with the Tonkin thing. If you'll just do it, then you'll see how you're being had.
Well, most
they're
of it,
playing the same crap over and over and over again.
That's why I keep saying they're not very smart, but in their strategy. Yeah, but
well, no,
they're playing the American
smart.
People
they
for
never,
not very smart either.
Works. I'm sorry, I stepped.
No,
up.
That, no, that's okay. We got to hit the break though, Rick.
All right, thank you so much for the time, and everybody, I love you so much. Good night, America.
Take care, brother.
All right, bye.
Bye now. It is a wonderful film, Hearts and Minds, and damn well worth the watching. When we come back. Two words, Neil Bortz. This is Head On.
McGruff, the crime dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scrub, Scrub, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scrub, Scrub, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scrub, Scrub, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more.
The back door, everything is all right.
This week on Fourth Estate Radio, historian, author, and lefty stir, Humphrey McQueen.
You take those Coca-Cola plants in Guatemala. Time and time again, someone's tried to organize a little union. They either come out and they shoot them, they abduct their kids, they rape their daughters. There's a whole range of levels on which they do this. Now, you'd think when this had happened the first time, you'd think, well, the bloke didn't know any better. But
then, benefit of the doubt first time.
Then 5 years later, someone else does it.
Yeah.
You think, has he forgotten that the kind of thing that's going to happen to him? Why do they do that? That seems to me to be more remarkable than the fact that you're pointing to the fact that most of the American working class at the moment are pretty quiescent.
Join us Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
Neil Bortz. Now, not as noticeable or well-known as that god-awful junkie, Flimball. But what Flimball has in terms of name recognition, Bortz has in just plain old, hateful, nasty, god-awful racism. And proudly puts it on display all the time. Now, in this particular instance, well, this is a rather lengthy clip, but it's, again, you know, we spend a lot of time on this program with issues of context and issues of perspective and issues about how things seem to come around and happen to us because we've forgotten some things. Or another generation has passed away without fully passing on to us, the next generation, what desperately needed to be learned from them so that we don't have to relearn it. Classic example, as I have put forward before, the generation that lived as young adults or adults through the Republican-generated Great Depression. Remember, that was 12 years, 10 years of Republican rule? 12 years. Just like 12 years of Reagan and Bush. 12 years of Republican rule drove the American economy into the ground and sent millions of Americans, literally, into starvation. And Reagan couldn't get away with it because that was his generation. He couldn't get away with everything he wanted to do because his generation still remembered Republican excess and Republican poison. in this particular instance, economic poison. Like the old lady, God rest her soul, who once looked at me and said, you know, and she was one of those Depression-era young adults, and she said, back then, the Republicans promised us three meals a day, and they come through. Oatmeal, miss a meal, and skip a meal. Well, that generation's gone now, so they think that maybe they can pull it off this time through. And there's other stuff that we've forgotten as well. And like I said, this is rather a long clip. This is Neil Bortz, March 27th, discussing the immigrant question. The immigrant problem. What shall we do with all those good-for-nothing brown people? You know, okay, here we go. This is, what's the name of the dude where if you mention it in a thread, and when you say Nazi in a thread, the thread goes dead on the internet or whatever. If they had talk radio in Germany in 1936, this is what it would have sounded like.
Head on radio.
No, it would, that's the dadgum news. See what happens when Agnes isn't here. Here we go.
11 or 12 million illegals in this country are not going anywhere. They are staying right here. You tell me if you disagree with this, Royal. You can change their continued presence here from a misdemeanor to a felony if you want to, but they're going to stay. If you think the United Nations Human Rights Commission screamed when we force-fed Gitmo prisoners who were trying to kill themselves through starvation, calling that torture, then you just stand back and you listen to the howling. The howling that would follow as surely as night follows day or as Bill Clinton follows flat bellies, the howling that it'll erupt with Category 5 force.
Now, wait just one confounded minute. Did you notice what he's done so far? He has worked in Bill Clinton. Oh, God, it's almost too much. These people on the right wing are all the same. He's trying to talk about immigration. He's worked in vilifying people who simply, because they know they're going to be at Guantanamo for the rest of their natural-born lives, hope to end that natural-born life by starving themselves to death, because the belt and shoelaces are gone, after all. So he's vilified them, and then he gets in a dig at Bill Clinton. All before he ever really gets to hating the brown people or the Mexicans or all before he gets to hating them real, real good. For God's sakes, let's not stop here.
We try to send these criminals back across the Mexican-American border. The United Nations and Euro weenies.
Well, wait. Stop. These criminals? Criminals? How are they criminals? Somebody needs to explain that one to me. These criminals probably mow Neil Bortz's damned lawn. If they're not cleaning his house. And holding a hand out and saying, Senor Bortz, my pay? I despise these SOBs. Really, I do.
Who have their own immigration problem with their own M-word. It's Muslims for them. They will start screaming about human rights violations like you've never heard them screaming before. They are not going to be shipped back.
Oh, you think you've heard something so far, don't you? No, you haven't. See, now that part was where he echoes his hero, Big Time Dick Cheney, who said that Europeans who complain about us torturing people at the concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay, and baby, it is a concentration camp, okay? It's got, just because you don't have the spiffy black uniforms and the little lightning bolt symbols on your lapel doesn't mean it's not a concentration camp. And it ain't Hogan's Heroes. But no, this is where he's following on the line. Not Dick Cheney. My bad. No, this is following on the line espoused by Fat Tony Soprano, or Scalia, rather, who said that Europeans who complain about the way we treat our political, or, well, you know, concentration camp prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, that they're hypocrites. He said that March 8th at the University of, what, Freiburg in Switzerland? Yeah. No, but here comes the good part.
I mean, Royal, think about Mexico doesn't want them back, first of all. Think what happens if we round, first of all, where do we store 11 million Hispanics waiting to ship them back to Nicaragua, Colombia, Costa Rica, Mexico? Where do we store them?
That's a good point.
You know, the Atlanta Coliseum? I know.
Superdome.
The Superdome, exactly, in the Astrodome in Houston. That's where we'll put them. We've got practice. Got practice. But where are we? And then, what happens if Mexico says, we ain't taking them back?
You okay with all that now? I'm not. No, I'm not, because... I can tune in my little mental wireless, and I can hear some laughing damn Nazi saying, "And what is it that you would want us to do with all these Jews? Where do we put them? I do not know where we will be putting these Jews. I have an idea. We will put them in the stadium at Nuremberg. Or perhaps we can put them in the new stadium that we built for the Olympics. Oh, that is a funny joke. I be here all the week. I can hear that. Can you hear that? Yeah, I thought so. So let's go to the phones. I have no idea who is with us. Hey, you're head on. Who have I got?
Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Don't treat my brown brothers that way.
Who am I mistreating?
Not you.
Oh.
This nation is treating all my brown brothers that way. And I won't have it, and I know you won't have it. You know, and you're just as pink as I am.
Oh, maybe pinker.
Huh?
Maybe pinker.
I think so. I saw your picture.
Oh, man, I get a sunburn under the refrigerator light bulb.
But, Bob, you know what you're dealing with. I heard it so many times. You're dealing with Nazis.
Yeah! Oh, hell yeah!
You're dealing with full-blown Nazis. And, you know, I'll never get over it. I saw a picture. It was a moving picture of Hitler with his arm stuck out going in a parade. And the camera pans into the crowd, and there is this Kool-Aid drinker, blonde, blue-eyed broad, just gazing on him with these wondrous eyes. If you haven't seen it, it was just, you know, and it hasn't left me since I was a child. You know, because I was born in the late 40s.
Yeah.
And I heard all the war stories, and I was led to believe that we were the great nation that had defeated the Nazis. But we weren't the great nation that defeated the Nazis. You know who the great nation was that defeated the Nazis? That was Soviet Russia.
Yeah, kind of wasn't
it? Absolutely.
Oh, you know, Bob, it's interesting you would bring that up, because I mentioned that back in the bad old days on terrestrial radio over in the fifth smallest radio market in America, and I got called on it. I said, you know, it was during a conversation with our friend Jim, and we were talking about how many more people the Soviets lost fighting off the Nazis than we did, and I was immediately called and said, "Why are you beating down America? Them communists didn't stop the Nazis. We did."
No, the communists did stop the Nazis. They stopped them at Stalingrad. They stopped them in Moscow. They stopped them, and then they drove them back. They destroyed the Nazi war machine. And the only thing we did was invade Normandy and set up a second front. How many years later, after they begged us to start a second front? No, we had to start one in Africa and then into Italy. We had to play the end-around game and lose how many more? If we had punched into Europe before we went into, it would have destroyed the Nazi machine so much faster if we had put our effort into Europe instead of going into Africa and then into Italy, because Italy was crumbling before we got there, and all the divisions that Russia was destroying in their country could not have bolstered the Western Front if we had gone into Europe immediately when Stalin asked us to. The war would have been over years before.
Yeah, but there's a lot of historical debate and freight in what you've said, Bob. I lost an uncle that I never got to meet on a southern invasion of France. He died literally because all the brand new spanking wonderful miracle drug penicillin was up on the Normandy front.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason for dragging that out, because we damn sure didn't want the Russians helping us beat the Japanese.
Well, you know, that idea of using the first atomic bomb was a bad idea. It really was.
Well, you know, the jury's out on that. I think
it's not out. It was a useless use of.
Well, there's no getting around the fact that the Japanese in what, June of 1945, said to the United States, "We are more than willing to surrender. The only thing we ask is that we get to keep our emperor." And we said, no, it will be an unconditional surrender or no surrender at all. And so then when they signed the unconditional surrender, we let them keep their emperor.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, it was a game of politics. And, you know, we talk politics all the time, Bob.
Sure.
And I'm a staunch Democrat. But, you know, besides that, okay, I could throw my Democrat values out the window in a minute if somebody would give me true liberal values. I'd go back and, I don't know, become a deist and join George Washington and the boys at Lexington and, you know, on the green and just say, okay, I want independence from any foreign power. I want independence. I want independence. I want to choose.
Well, that was the original idea, and we kind of threw it out the window extra quick.
Yeah, we did. But it wasn't the boys that fought the battle that threw it out. It wasn't the boys that came up with that Declaration of Independence and then the Constitution of the United States, which took 13 years. It took 13 years for our Constitution to be accepted by the states,
Donald Rumsfeld reminds us of that almost daily.
Yes, okay.
And we're expecting too much of the Iraqis.
Well, it's kind of hard to have. England would have been our adversary at the time, standing there, shoving a constitution down our throat. It would kind of rile those boys back then if England had stood over them shoving a constitution down their throat. And I think, you know, Donald Rumsfeld is not looking at history. We were not bothered during that time by anyone. No foreign power bothered us during that period. We hacked that one out by ourselves. Now,
yeah,
we're sitting in their house, and we're pounding on their chest, and we're telling them, swallow this. Okay?
Yeah.
And you can't do that to a man. You know, if you do it, either kill him and then you can stand over his dead body, but you're not actually creating a democracy. You're actually creating, what is that they call it again? This thing that the PNAC group wants.
Oh, you know? Yeah, the New American Century?
No, they want a empire, something.
Oh,
like
oh
empire.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I want to control everything. I am Caesar.
Yeah, yeah,
see,
that
I'm
one.
I'm gonna put on these red boots, and I am the Caesar. No, hey, we don't need a king. We, through them out back in 1776, right?
Yes.
And said, no more kings, and we will not tolerate a king.
Well, but they, but the thing is, you know, no matter how much the framers of the Constitution, Bob, anticipated that there would be some ne'er-do-wells and there would be some occasional screw-ups, honest to God, they never contemplated the existence of the Bush family. I just don't believe they did. They
well,
never.
I'm sure that the people in Democratic Germany did not anticipate Hitler either. But I do remember the Chancellor of Germany here a few years back saying that Bush is the exact thing is Hitler. And everybody just, oh, they wet themselves. They soiled their shorts. They made a mess in the seat where they were sitting because a German said, hey, he looks like Hitler. He talks like Hitler. He walks like Hitler. He's a coward like Hitler.
Yeah,
and he is Hitler, but he's a cowardly Hitler. At least Hitler served in the armed forces.
Well,
Bush never served. He hid and ran. He's a punk bastard and a deserter. And he is not my president. He was not elected. He never was elected. He was selected by this right wing, this Nazi Supreme Court. They're not my Supreme Court. They hand down no law. They hand down nothing but edicts from the Nazi, a Sieg Heil little monkey wog punk that sits in my White House.
I know.
In my people's house.
Well,
and I'm, Bob.
He's got, yes.
I'm sorry. I've ran enough.
That's okay.
But I am. Hey, it is time, people, to stand up for what you believe in, not what they believe in. Stop believing and start just stand up and stand up with some charge in you, some courage in you, and realize you're dealing with punk cowards, and punch them square in the teeth, and punch them hard. And if you can't hit them hard enough to shove it back to the back of their throat and out the back of their head, well, then step around behind them and slam it the other way.
Oh, NSA agent Fred is having so much fun,
Fred,
right now.
Hey, Fred.
I know.
Visit me, please. You got my address. You know who I am. I know you know me, Fred. But
we got to roll. We're up against the news, Bob.
Okay. Well,
take care, my brother.
Hey, I'll listen to the news, but I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more, and nobody else should either.
Amen to that, Bob. Take
Good
care.
Good night, my friend, and keep the faith and just. Slam them in the face.
We're trying every night. Bye now, Bob.
Do a good job. Bye-bye.
Thanks. And more of your phone calls when we come back. This is Head On. The number, of course, 877-443-2366. You're more than welcome to get in on this. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. In what some might call a contradiction in terms, the Republican House of Representatives passed an intelligence bill Thursday. The House Intelligence Committee passed the budget over Democratic attempts to hold the NSA accountable for domestic spying. The Democrats wanted to hold back on some funding until the Bush administration came clean about domestic spying. The Senate wants the Supreme Court to stop being camera shy. The Senate Judiciary Committee passed a measure Thursday calling on the High Court to allow cameras in the courtroom for oral arguments. No one expects the court to come into the light easily. A majority of the justices oppose the people of the United States being able to watch them administer justice. The Roman Catholic Church is breathing a little easier. The number of complaints filed against priests for sexually abusing children declined in 2005. Last year, only 777 people reported having been molested by God's servants. An American reporter held for 3 months by Iraqi kidnappers was released today. Jill Carroll, reporter for the Christian Science Monitor, was released this morning after being held in captivity for 3 months. Carroll was quoted as saying she wasn't sure why she was kidnapped. Some would call him a deserter, others maybe not. Joshua Key, the first U.S. deserter who has experienced combat in Iraq and who also suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder as a result, told the Canadian Immigration and Refugee Board today that he witnessed a number of atrocities in Iraq. Key said he was never trained on the Geneva Conventions and was told they were, quote, only guidelines, unquote. Key also witnessed U.S. soldiers kicking a severed head around like a soccer ball. He and his family now live in Fort St. John, British Columbia. The U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency is planning to detonate a 700-ton explosive near Las Vegas, Nevada, in early June. The explosive is going to create a mushroom cloud over Las Vegas when detonated, and there is no word on how this will affect radioactive particles that exist in the former nuclear testing site where this detonation will take place. Authorities are claiming this bomb will help in their quest to penetrate, quote, bunkers housing nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons, unquote. No word on where exactly the U.S. is planning to use this weapon. As the drumbeats of war beat louder and louder in the Middle East, Iran announced Thursday following the U.N. Security Council resolution that it would not cease refining nuclear fuel. Iran, coincidentally, is deploying thousands of troops to the Gulf to stage a week-long military maneuver to ready its armed forces for, quote, warding off threats, unquote. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children has doubled, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children will use them. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
The sole survivor of the Sago mine disaster is out of the hospital. Randall McCloy, the lone survivor of the Sago mine disaster in West Virginia, left the hospital today under his own steam. Upon his release, McCloy said, quote, I'd just like to thank everyone for their thoughts and prayers, and I think that's it, unquote. McCloy survived 40 hours underground amid dangerous gases while his 12 co-workers died one by one. International Coal Group delayed the rescue effort for nearly 12 hours following the underground explosion that killed 12 of 13 miners underground. Michael Berg is running for Congress. He's the father of Nick Berg, who was beheaded in Iraq. Michael Berg is running for Congress in Delaware on the Green Party ticket. Berg, who is 61, acknowledges that his late entry into politics is as a result of his son's death. Berg blames George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld for the death of his son. Former White House counsel John Dean is going to testify before Congress. John Dean, counsel to Richard Nixon, was announced by Senator Russ Feingold as one of several witnesses to be called to the hearings on censure that have been scheduled for the Senate Judiciary Committee for 9:30 Friday morning. Dean played a major role in the Watergate scandal that brought down the Nixon administration. The state of Florida has subpoenaed three major voting companies. The Florida Attorney General's office has issued investigative subpoenas to the three companies certified to sell voting machines in Florida. Attorney General Charlie Crist is reviewing a dispute between the firms and Leon County's elections supervisor. Diebold Election Systems and Software, and Sequoia Voting Systems have refused to sell equipment to let disabled voters cast ballots without help in Leon County. Elections Supervisor Ian Sancho has been outspoken about his concern that the devices can be easily manipulated to change race outcomes. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Agnes is back at the helm, so things may run a little bit more smoothly now. You know what's pathetic is when you show up, you know, they send out notices, you know, please come to the parent-teacher conference kind of thing. There were three parents. I mean, there's 25 kids in this one class. There were three parents. They schedule these things after work hours. There were three parents. It doesn't bode well. Agnes, dear, if you could put whoever that is on hold so we can go to the phones.
I'm right with you, dear.
Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
Reasonably well. You know, I've just got a blanket statement to make, and honestly and truly, after watching what has been happening for the past couple of years with this government, you know, particularly with the bill of goods we've been sold about Iraq and so many other things, it's just like, for me personally, it's been like watching my sister being gangbanged by a bunch of women, by a bunch of men who take down the tilt world.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly how I feel. And I feel like that, you know, that they've nailed me in the rear too and haven't even given me a reach around. Honestly and truly.
Yeah. Well, no.
And, you know, I can understand Bob's up in North Dakota's frustration. And, you know, and there's a certain degree of eloquence in his passion and pain that I can sense and understand. And he was certainly right about the Russians. You and I talked about that last summer, I believe.
Yeah, or maybe two summers ago.
Two summers ago. God, how time flies when you're having too much fun, right?
Yeah, indeed.
But, I mean, out of every eight German soldiers, seven were killed by the Ruskies.
Yeah.
And, you know, dovetailing on what I said last night, when I think about us being at loggerheads with them once again over this thing in Iran, my blood runs cold.
Yeah, it everyone's should, Jim.
And, you know, I've just finished up this book called The Fall of Berlin, 1945. And, you know, the mentality of some of these Republicans is, to me, it's relevant of the same type of mentality and lack of reality that surrounded the leaders of the Third Reich when the whole war was caving in on them.
Yes.
You know, it's just like they've lost sense of any type of reality whatsoever. I mean, and they're in some kind of Führerbunker somewhere. And they don't believe that the Russians are just a couple meters down the street. But, I mean, we've got so many things closing on this country right now with between immigration and between the deficit and between countries that are turning against us one by one. Nations that were formerly our allies and friends and who respected us, and now they fear us. And we have responded with this doctrine of preemption. And saying, you know, if you don't play it our way, we're going to take our ball and go home. I mean, it's like we're being led by a bunch of children.
Well, and we're being had in so many different ways, Jim. You've got a broadband connection, right?
Yeah.
Go watch this Ha 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 America and see if the little hairs don't stand up on the back of your neck.
No, I'll do that. Oh, is that going to be on tomorrow night? Or?
No. It's online. You can watch it anytime you want to.
Anytime? Okay.
Yeah, it's at festival.sundance.org.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
About 30 minutes long. If you go to that website and look under 2006, you'll find, and just look for Ha 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 America.
But, you know, I can tell you this. It was in the next 30 days, I think we're going to see some very interesting things, events begin to unfold.
Well, they're meeting. They're one of the blurbs in the news this evening was the we have sent kind of sleazy Rice over to Berlin to talk about what the next step is in dealing with that rogue nation, Iran. And see, I think even some of these neocons are beginning to understand even just a tiny bit how close to the precipice they are. They're looking into the abyss, and the abyss is damn well staring back because, among other things, you know, you got Condoleezza Rice out there now saying, well, it's okay for them to have nuclear power, but they can't enrich uranium.
We don't need to send her.
That's who we sent. A little late now, Jim.
You know, this is kind of like when Hitler used to send Ribbentrop to London. and they were saying, well, so many of the people know him over there. And I think it was even Hitler or somebody who said, yeah, but that's the trouble. They know him too well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
I mean, we don't need to send that woman. My God, we've been sending her for... how many years, and what good has it done?
Well, it's Coles to Newcastle, isn't it?
Oh, well, I can only repeat what King George said when he let go Sir Samuel Hoare, who was the ambassador to Paris, who screwed up. And he said, we'll see no more Coles to Newcastle, and let us send no more Hoare to Paris.
you know, that's the wonderful thing about you, Jim. You know, the historical perspective... is what we've got to have more of.
Well, see, Bob, people don't have that. They don't. It's not taught to them, and history is placed upon students in today's schools like some necessary evil when it's really a positive good.
Well, one
as a former teacher, for 12 years, I mean that's what I did. Was to try to teach young people that those who do not pay attention to the mistakes of the past are doomed to repeat them.
Well, you and I both count among our good friends Dr. Bill O'Brien, and he has been engaged for, 4 years now in desperately trying to teach teachers to teach history where it will matter to their students?
I know. And I can remember teachers that I taught with who didn't know the difference between World War One and World War Two. They had Hitler as the leader in World War One and not World War Two.
And Kaiser was something, the Kaiser was something you got your corned beef put on.
And I'll tell you, our education system is just absolutely, we have neglected the arts and, the liberal arts, among which history is, definitely the who is the muse of history? Is it Calliope? Calliope, right. Well, that's one muse that we need to pay definite attention to. That's for damn sure.
Well, it's the first social science. And it seems to be the one to which we pay the least attention, Jim.
Well, I mean, and I think that basically it's always given a back seat, and particularly in this No Child Left Behind thing.
Well, and it's made fashionable in the schools to say things like, history is boring. I don't like to memorize dates.
Well, it's just like your PSA that you have when they're talking about
Tchaikovsky and
Man Ray and people and Martha Graham. And, that's very, very true. It's one of the best PSAs I've heard in a very long, long period of time. And, people, I just don't understand how they can be so even comfortable being so empty-headed, except their heads are filled with just gibberish and Xboxes and Walkmans and...
Well, that's why this show is here.
And things
Jim, this show is on from 7 to 10 Eastern, from here to the Mississippi River, just about. I mean, I'm talking about the Eastern time zone, the Central time zone. This is time when most of America is riveted to a television set.
Oh, yeah.
There are, however, people, and a whole lot of them, and growing every day, who instead would rather talk about things that matter. And that's what this show is here for. That's what the Head On Radio Network is here for.
Well, I'll be glad that we can continue to do that until one day we might not be able to. Because, you know, people who, I hate to say it, don't want to talk about things that matter are going to lose the option.
Yeah, they are. They sincerely are. Jim, we've got to take our break, but thanks so much for everything.
Well, you know, like I say, one more thing, and this is what Einstein said. I don't know how World War III is going to be fought, but I know how World War IV will be fought.
Sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones.
That's the absolute truth.
And we better start thinking a bit long and hard about this before we let some hothead get us into some crap we can't get out of.
And, well, that's the sad thing. We're already in crap we can't get out of, Jim, and its name is Iraq.
Well, if it goes into Iran, I hate to say, you know, that's not going to be a good thing.
No.
That's going to be a real bad thing. And I'll leave you in peace.
All right. Take care, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Agnes, shall we take a break here, dear? About 16 minutes past the hour. Someday we'll have that glassed-in booth, and we'll sound so highly professional. But she's doing a wonderful job, and I'm thrilled to death to have her back tonight. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Speaking of thievery,
yes,
just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right,
yes,
he died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so... I thought
God.
It was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you know, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
Work the shoe
we're
level
a nice little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
Past the hour, let's get right back to it. Andrew is with us, calling from New York on line two. Hey, Andrew, you're Head On.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I want to give a shout out to Bob out in North Dakota.
More than happy.
Love him. I just wanted to call him and talk about a little bit about that immigration issue now.
Yeah.
We need to be looking at Mexico. It's like, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's coming out now, but I think Mexico, until Mexico picks up their side of the coin and they get Vicente Fox, who's a corporatist-friendly, you know, president, you know, get rid of him and they start, you know, creating jobs for their own people, then you know, you're always going to have immigration, but immigration, America is founded upon immigration. I mean, it's, you know, legally or illegally.
Right.
I mean, what happened to melting pot? I mean, you know.
Well, see, I don't know what the hang up is with people who speak Spanish, Andrew. Honest to God, I don't.
Just because they're brown, that's all.
Well,
I mean, they're hardworking people. I mean,
yes,
you know, and I have no problems with any of them. You know, I've never had a run-in with, you know, a Mexican or whatever. And if I see them, you know, I say hi. They say hi back. It's like, you know, I have no problems at all.
I've seen people's eyes light up just because I said hola instead of
exactly.
Hello.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then it gets a little complicated because that's about the extent of my Spanish. what I'm getting at here. Is, well, if you look at the so-called guest worker policy, have you seen the details that are contained
in
this?
Basically saying, we can use you for 10 years, and then, you know, we're going to ship you back home.
But it's not just that. I mean, there's downright just mean, evil, nasty stuff contained in this.
They can't commit a crime, and they'll get fined, and
they can't join a union.
Yep.
And here's the best part, though. But this is a real deal breaker. I mean, if I'm trying to put myself in anybody's shoes, this is a deal breaker. You are a so-called illegal alien. You are busting your hump. You're sending most of your money home to support your family.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're going to get in on this guest worker program. The first thing you have to do is pay $2,000. Have you seen that part?
And you got to work that off.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of folks are already working off a debt to the coyotes.
Yeah, forbidden them here.
The people who smuggle them in here.
And it's like these literacy programs, and you know these civics courses. They, you know, talking about they got to learn about American civics, and you know they got to be able to speak English fluently. I'm like, where's the money going to come from for those programs?
Well, sure.
Huh?
I guess that's going to be paid for by the $2,000 fine.
The corporation's going to pay for that?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
No, that, no.
My bad.
No, it's going to, that's a, you know, that part's going to be carried on the backs of the brown people. I mean, I'm just sick to death with some of this crap, Andrew. It drives me...
Brown people and us too. Oh, don't think they're not going to take some of our tax dollars to go and, you know, funnel into another one of Neil Bush's scams.
No doubt. And, you know, the report's out that, 27% of the schools in America are failing in George Bush's No Child Behind Left program.
Oh, God.
And it's...
Teaching to the test.
Yeah, well, not just teaching to the test, but it was designed that way.
Yeah.
This was the camel's nose under the tent, Andrew, with regard to propping up the private religion industry schools. So what happens is the schools fail, you declare them shut down under No Child's Behind Left. You get to tell the children they can be shuffled off to a private school where they can be told that human civilization arose because a cave woman had a conversation with a gossipy water moccasin, and there you go.
Yeah,
it's all of it. It is every last bit of it a con.
Yeah, that's all it is. One giant con. It's nothing but a con. And the immigration issue is a con, too, because they're not addressing the issue with Vicente Fox, and they're not, you know, guest worker program. That's just...
Well, who do you...
That's nothing. That's just an empty... Just hateful legislation, that's all.
Well, we sit in abject, stunned amazement sometimes to watch at what the K Street lobbyists for various and sundry polluters can get away with our Congress. You know, you walk up, you hand them a brown bag full of money, and the next thing you know, you got a Clear Skies initiative that says air is better with more mercury in it. and so we've got NAFTA, and we've got free trade with Mexico, and... American manufacturers send their plants to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and when it got too expensive for Mexico, then they went to China.
Sure. But
the whole NAFTA thing now is shrinking. It's shrinking back up from South America, and it's coming back through Central America. Now it's right on us because democracy is taking effect down in South America.
But if American industry, Andrew, can have its way with a Congress, the Congress of the United States, imagine how much easier it is to say to the Mexican government, for instance, you know, we'll pay your people 50 cents an hour.
Yep.
But we can't build our plant here if we've, you know, the reason we had to leave the U.S. was because we had all these restrictive pollution requirements. Now you're not going to have any of those for us, are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that.
And now they can have all the pollution they want here now.
So, you know, telling Mexico that they're going to have to get Mexico's not going to get serious about this.
No.
I mean, because Mexico, you know, I'm beginning
in Mexico, the corporations in Mexico.
And not just
that.
People
that are getting the most benefit.
Well-heeled people are not walking 300 miles across the desert.
Yeah, they're just farming out labor and then taking the money. Then when they wire it back to Mexico, then they, you know.
This is just feeding on the poor.
Yeah.
Whatever passes for Mexico's middle class, and there is one.
Corporate slavery, that's all.
Yeah, they're not leaving Mexico, Andrew. They're not the ones coming up here and hiring the coyotes.
No.
We're talking about the dirt poor. We really are talking about the people that is mentioned on that tablet at the base of the Statue of Liberty. We're talking about your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
And that all was created by the corporation.
Yeah. it's all just a construct.
The root of it is the multinationals. And, you know, I mean, you can put a cherry on a pile of you-know-what, but hey.
It's still a pile of you-know-what with a cherry on top. Yeah.
So,
and you know, to watch Lou Dobbs sit and have his little aneurysm on air, and Tom Tancredo and James Sensenbrenner and George Bush sitting there playing good guy. You know, these are going to be guest workers. Well, you know, they're not going to be a guest in your house, George. You know, because Lupe lives in the barn and we know it.
Yes.
And I despise it. I despise that we're even having this, that we have to talk
I
like
know.
this
is like, you know, ridiculous.
Neil Bortz wants to warehouse or intern Mexicans in the Superdome and the Astrodome. You
what
know,
is this guy? I mean, what are these people on? I don't know. I mean, they need to lay off the Lunesta or whatever. I don't know.
Hate is the most powerful drug on earth.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And they're ODing on it.
That's true.
I mean, they're just mainlining the stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And I've listened to Bortz a lot, and this is typical for him. And the funny thing is, the station where I used to be over in Beckley, they're ditching Rush Limbaugh and picking up Bortz because I guess Limbaugh wasn't hateful enough for them. Actually, Limbaugh cost money and Bortz didn't.
Yeah,
but you know, that's how that goes.
I don't know. Well, it was nice meeting with you on the green tonight. Four words of Bob. And say hi to Rick, too, also.
All right, will do.
Yep.
Take care.
Yep, bye-bye.
See you, Andrew. Our pal Andrew from New York. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. It's time for our evening Cup of Joe report from our good friend Joe Vecchio at cupofjoe.blogspot.com. This is Head On. You know, you're welcome to get in on the program. Got a couple of lines open now. 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. And I'm Bob.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. If pro-lifers were really serious about what they say, they would stop wasting their time and energy trying to make abortions illegal without any penalties for the mother, I might add, and spend more time advocating for birth control, building a health care system that aids all pregnant women regardless of income, and work to adopt all kinds of children, not just white ones. But they don't do that. All they do is scream murder and wave around rubber fetuses and try to intimidate and manipulate people. The only ones that are helped by this attitude are the so-called leaders of the pro-life movement, who make a hefty bundle off their slack-jawed followers. They do the same thing with immigration, too, scream bloody murder about Mexicans or Asians or whoever, but they don't see that in order to stop that kind of immigration, you have to work to make all those other countries happy and prosperous. That way, people can be free to live where they were born or leave for reasons other than just where they can find the best jobs. And corporations can move to other countries for reasons other than finding the cheapest workforce. It's a win-win situation, but it's not as easy to sell as blaming someone else for your miserable life. But the slackjaws, unfortunately, are too stupid or too scared to realize they're being suckered. They hate the idea of anyone actually enjoying sex or being happy or well-paid at their jobs. Instead of trying to build a world where everyone can be happy, they'd rather build a world where everyone is just as miserable as they are. I guess they just want the company. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. We're halfway through on this Thursday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone number, of course, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366, and email to bob@headonradio.com. And let's go to David, our good friend in Maine. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Good evening, Bob.
Thank you for waiting, sir.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well. You?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I wanted to start off with something funny because I didn't hear anybody mention it yet.
Okay.
There's a Republican running for Congress, and his name is Howard Cooligan. That's close to hooligan, but anyway. it gets funnier. He's running for Congress, and he thought it would be wonderful if I showed people what was happening in Iraq. So we went on a radio tour with this woman named Melanie Morgan and a few others. But here's where it gets really funny. He posts a picture, and he says, here is Iraq. It's looking calm and everything. But then, you know, the wonders of technology, the 21st century, which you can do with Google Earth, you can find any location. It's not Iraq. It's Istanbul, Turkey.
No.
Nice going, Jack.
But
Bob, it gets better. Then he goes on and he says, wait, well, that picture right there, they actually crashed the site because so many people went to his site. But anyways, then he puts a different picture and he says, that was just a mistake. I didn't mean to do that because we made a stopover in Istanbul. Somebody checked back with the itinerary that they went. Well, I don't think they did stop by Istanbul.
They didn't go there at all.
No. But then the picture he puts up is one of those hotel balcony shots like Laura Ingraham.
Oh, no.
But the funniest thing about it is it gets even funnier. How can it not get any more fun?
Work it, David.
Okay, this is the funniest part about it. Then the picture he puts up, well, it is a Baghdad, but it's a year earlier in the buildings.
Oh, before the bombs.
No, they bombed them. So it's not as calm and peaceful as he thinks it is in Iraq. But, you know, he did have some fun on his radio tour and in these little chamber rooms with the people that are pretending to be generals and whatnot. And I just found that funny about this guy named Howard Cooligan. He actually made the AP wire in his area, and
just doing what Republicans do, lying.
Just ridiculous. And yeah, I thought that was funny. Now the next thing I wanted to talk about, switching gears now.
Yes, please.
What Rick was saying, and what Rama says, and what all these people who say who hammer the Democrats, they need to realize. One thing, there is no benevolent party, guys. Every single party is going to get corrupt. I don't care what you say.
Washington's poison.
I know, it's going to happen because that's human nature. But you know what? The Democrats are like a giant dysfunctional family business, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're in that business. We're like the cousins of the cousins of the cousins of the cousins. Okay? All right? And we know there are serious a-holes there.
Yeah.
We know there are serious a-holes. But the fact is, what does your mother say to you? They're family. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're family.
Yeah, you can't do that. Hey, you know, I come from an Italian family. So, you know, that right there alone, you're going to have some people that are just going to, they just talk loud. They get mad. And they just constantly argue right in front of everybody.
And the old uncle down at the end of the couch is just drunk out of his mind and babbling. What we need is just drop some bombs on these.
Right. So here's the thing. I'm going to spin back on Rick, and spin back on everybody. When you point the blame to somebody, remember you could screw up later on, and they're going to come down just as hard as you with the people around you.
Oh, sure.
That's the way it works. Karma.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, David. And that's the thing I keep trying to get across, and maybe I'm succeeding, maybe I'm failing, who knows. There will never be a viable third party in the United States.
It might be in their city.
well, but I mean, a national party that's going to run people for president and blah, 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 blah. As soon as there's a viable third party, it will be the second party.
You know, it might be in that that Mason Hall down the street.
Yeah,
there's your third party, but the problem is it's always going to corrupt itself. So what you have to do is you have to constantly remind yourself that you're always going to have to have corruption, you're always going to have to deal with it. And if you walk away from it, you're just walking away from something that took years and years to build, and you're actually just basically cutting your throat by doing that.
You're disempowering yourself.
You're disempowering yourself, and not only that. You're taking that negativity with you, and you're going to travel it, and it travels everywhere. It's just crazy. And then people start to think, like, I was listening to a Prince song called Dear Mr. Man, and he says, ain't no use in voting because they're all the same. You see, that's what I'm talking about. When you have people in the artist community,
mm-hmm.
and whatnot, when they say when they're all the same, it's just ridiculous. Is Cynthia McKinney the same? If nobody voted for Cynthia McKinney, a lot of stuff wouldn't happen in her community. She wouldn't have made as much progress as she's done. I don't have her list of what she's done.
Right, and some right-wing snake-handling freak is not the same as Cynthia McKinney.
That's right. That's exactly right, what I'm saying. And this is what I think is so crazy about it. How is it that somebody can criticize somebody who is slightly corrupt, makes a bad decision or something, and just thinks, well, I'm the benevolent one. I would do everything right.
I know.
It blows the mind.
Yeah, it does. And again, I said it talking to Wayne a couple of nights ago, David. Assuming that we get a majority back in the Congress, there is not going to be anybody on God's sweet little blue-green orb hurtling through the universe than me in holding the Democratic Party's feet to the fire. You know, because we've got real issues to hold their feet to the fire. These right-wing mugwumps got their bunch into power, and, you know, their idea of holding their feet to the fire was to have another anti-abortion rally.
It's like a football game. You're going to have constant injuries. People are going to be out for the season. People are going to be out for their careers.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is. And if people can't deal with that, then they have a whole different set of issues and problems that nobody can deal with. It's like just basically like isolating yourself. You might as well become like a Ted Kaczynski who's just peaceful.
Yeah, just going to go
peaceful Todd.
Go fix me a little hut in the woods and separate
like
from society.
And just think, well, I wish everybody would die. And that's what happens. So you have a choice. You can be this hateful person and isolate yourself and think that the Green Party and all of these other parties, the Yellow Party, the Teddy Bear Party, the Care Bear Party, the Leprechaun Party, the Mogwai and the Gremlins.
You're reaching now, David.
I know. Whatever party you want to establish, you have to remember something, Bob. And I want people to hear this. It's just a freaking name. That's all it is. It doesn't matter. What matters is the people underneath it.
Exactly.
That's it. And for people to just start a different party and to put it on the ballot and to create all this whatever this feedback, like, that they're the benevolent ones. This always happens in society. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me of a Dr. Seuss novel.
Oh, the Sneetches?
Yeah, Sneetches. We're the better ones.
Oh, we have stars on our bellies.
Yeah, we have stars on our belly. That's the green.
And well, no, that is. I've used the Sneetches before, David, and it's so appropriate because, frankly, we, you know, when you're talking about organizations like the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Committee, they're the little dude with the star machine.
Right.
Because, you know, come on in, run through. We'll give you a star on your belly, just like the Republicans have, and people won't be able to tell the difference. And you know, it's a guaranteed loser. It's a political loser. And that's why I keep saying over and over again, David, the Republican Party is broken beyond all recognition. It will never be fixed because it's been taken over by religious zealots and idiots and morons and corporatists and people who are never going to let go of it. On the other hand, we have an opportunity to fix the Democratic Party.
And you know, Bob, that's exactly right. And the little victories, I don't care what anybody says, Rick, Rama, whoever, little victories matter no matter what you think because it matters to somebody's family at that moment. It's all synchronicity, and you have to get that through your head.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I think, I mean, Rick says he's gonna vote Democrat. I hope to God he does. I consider him a dear friend of this program. But when we're pointing out the failings of the Republican Party and how they are screwing up so monstrously, it does no real good, David, to say, yeah, but Nancy Pelosi sucks too.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
you know, Harry Reid is a wimp, and he's ineffective, and how he got the job, God knows. But we've got people we can get behind in the party. We can get behind Howard Dean. We can help him in his fight, frankly, against Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. His 50-state strategy is a real strategy for the return of the grassroots-oriented Democratic Party.
And you know the funniest thing about the Green Party and the whole Ralph Nader debacle? I'm going to get into this because I think people should know this because I think they're out of touch. The reason why a lot of people were not going to vote for Ralph Nader was because he didn't have a family. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they understood that. They thought, well, we're going to get Pearl Jam out, and we're going to get like 20 or 30% of the vote, and we'll show them whatever.
Yeah, we're going to lose real good.
I know. We're going to make them lose or whatever. And they didn't. I don't think they even realized what they were getting into when they did that.
It's a mindset, David, that doesn't. I mean, it's a mindset that works in more traditional parliamentary forms of government. It absolutely works, because, you know, if you're part of the Captain Crunch party and you get 2 or 3% of the vote, you've got a couple of seats in Parliament and somebody's got to sit down and deal with you at least a little bit. Act like they like you on the off holidays. But
rage against everyone except yourself.
Yeah. But it doesn't work in this system.
I'm telling you, everything just has to. A lot of people just have to look and compare it and see. What's happening in right now is so crucial. It is, if you have a family, you have to do what's best for your family. This is like taking it back to the Middle Ages, if you want to live like that. We're on the cusp. Okay, here's the Middle Ages. Here's the Dark Ages. Okay, we're going back to the 19th century if we don't watch it right now. And I think the important thing is just to realize that you're not helping yourself. If somebody has faults, you have to take those little victories. If you're not going to get the mega victories that you want in your head. The plane of reality doesn't work like that for an entire population of the United States. It just doesn't.
No, it doesn't at all. And the thing is, you know, the Greens, you know, particularly, I aim at the Greens because they're the ones that that blow my mind and break my heart, David, because they are naturally my ally. They are my friend.
That's right.
They're the people that I want to work with. I have concert and common cause with them, but I'm not going to throw away what little political power is left to go and sit in the corner and feel good about my ego. They think, well, you know, we'll split off and we'll make them court us. You know, they want our votes. They'll have to do what we want.
You know what's funny about the Green Party?
What's that?
Ecology-minded party. But the paper and the leaflets that they print out are made on trees. So, I mean, I'm just saying this right now. That is what I'm talking about. You're always going to have those flaws inside you. You can't just stand on a pedestal and say, I am the one. I have come, and here is the path, my children. You have to look at everybody and say, look, we're always going to have these flaws and whatnot, but we got to get down to business. And we have to organize, and we have to put ourselves, because we've already lost a lot. You have to be honest to them, but, like, we've already lost a lot. And you know what? We might not even get it back.
We lost in 2002, and we lost in 2004 right. because we were trying to be, because we were following the Democratic Leadership Council, and we were taking their advice that, you know, if we're just a little bit more Republican-flavored. You know, people will like Democrats. You know, it goes back, I think I was in my last year of college, David, when Coca-Cola got rid of Coca-Cola and introduced new Pepsi-flavored Coke.
Right. What a stupid gimmick.
Yeah, well, you know, and it, oh, my God, it was just terrible. You know, I went to drink an RC. But, no, within the bounds of that metaphor, it's the same thing.
That's right. It is, you know, the same thing.
You know, you're not going to pull the Pepsi drinkers over to Coke by making Coke taste more like Pepsi. And you're not going to pull, we are not going to get, and we just got to have a little, you know, it's like the sign in the AA hall, you know, reality spoken here. We are not going to ever have the right-wing Taliban Christian vote. We will not have it, okay? We are not going to get the vote of the really weird, like Joe Vecchio mentioned in his report, the really weird people that run around with rubber fetuses. They're not going to join our cause.
Well, we might not have to worry because they might just start scratching their eyes out in the street because they think the rapture's coming.
Well,
just might be on the ground and what.
I'm up for that. Send them the fake fingernails. David, thanks so much for waiting, and thanks so much for your thoughts. You're right on, brother.
All right, later, Bob.
Take care now. And run on to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
What's going on?
Not a heck of a lot. I think David's got it there.
Yeah, he does, man. Yeah, he does. Listen to Did you see me on television tonight?
No, sorry.
I was on TV tonight, man.
Oh.
No, well, listen, you know.
Are you doing the autograph photos yet?
No, not yet, but, you know, I'll probably be getting calls tomorrow, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
But, well, this is local, but, you know, I hope everybody can have. Our union, you know, I'm president of the Carpenters Local 1911, Beckley, West Virginia.
Right.
And, you know, we gave a... Raleigh County Sheriff's Department recently lost their drug dog. The dog died.
That's sad.
And, you know, they were asking for contributions, so our local gave them $1,000 today and, you know, for, you know, to put towards their new dog. And so we got on television and, you know, it was a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, you know.
Good work.
I mean, there was a time in my life where I really hated those dogs, you know. I mean, you know, when you're coming in from Los Angeles, you know, bringing in a couple, you don't want to see them dogs.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a different time.
Yeah, Fido is not your friend then.
Right, you know. It's local politics, when I got deeply involved in this stuff, my lovely wife, God bless her whole soul, I was campaigning for a Supreme Court justice, which we don't have to mention his name.
Yeah,
good
right.
man.
Yeah.
You know. And we're some campaign thing, and there was a picture taken with the Supreme Court justice and me, and he had his arm around me. And my wife got that picture, and she said, I'm going to have that framed. And I said, for what? She said, I've seen you stand in front of a lot of these people, but I never saw you standing beside one with his arm around you. So she framed a picture. We still got it. We still got it. But that David's right on. I mean, he's right on. That's nobody's perfect. The party's not perfect, but it's the best thing we got. And we have to continue with that. And I hope Rick is listening, and I hope he, you know, there's no malice, Dave, or Rick,
yeah.
You know, but you got to realize what, you know, I mean, you made a terrible mistake when you voted for
Harry Brown.
Harry. Okay, I was going to call it Harry Henry. Is yeah. Harry Henry or?
Harry Brown.
Okay, you know, but.
Boy, you can tell the impact he had on the American political debate, can't you?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that dude's name?
Yeah, Harry Henry, you know. Brown, I can remember. That's it, but, you know. anyway, I don't know how many votes he got, but like you say, he didn't have much of an impact. But I think, you know.
By the way, Wayne, listeners inside West Virginia want to know what channel.
59.
Oh, 59, okay.
I don't know what it is. I'm confused. It's, on my cable thing, it's channel 11.
Okay, so Beckley, CBS 59?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that gets confusing. I mean, sometimes it's Fox 59, and then, you know, when they go from the 5:30 to the 6, it's the same people, but now it's CBS.
Yeah, I know. That's a little weird, isn't it?
I don't know what that's all about.
Well, our buddy Nanette in the chat room said to tell you hello.
Who said that?
Nanette.
Well, and hello to Nanette. But anyway, that whole Fox 59, CBS, you know, that's a Republican conspiracy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know. So, but anyway, I'm still encouraged. I sent Joe Vecchio an email, and I don't guess he got it. I might have did the address wrong or whatever. But, you know, Joe was on, I don't know, a few nights ago saying that we have to realize we're not going to win in 206. We have to blah, 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 blah. And I sent him an email and told him I disagreed with him and why, and sent him an article. But I never got an answer back from him, so I don't think he ever got it, because I'm sure he would have answered me. But I got to get his email straightened out, you know.
Oh, and here's another message. The fish fry guy says hello, Wayne.
Oh, he does. Oh, God, that's the God. That's Computo. I'm telling you, he's in Greek mythology.
Oh, I know. You've got a little shrine set up next to your machine.
Can't find that. You must have the wrong book. That is Computo. I mean, you know, that is the God of computers right there. And tell him I said I do. So, but
you just did.
I'm telling you, we are going to make, and I really and honestly believe this, and everybody has to work very, very hard for it. We are going to make great progress in these 2006 elections. And one of the ways we're going to do that is by having the right attitude, forget about this third party stuff, and work with the Democrats. They are not perfect, and they will never be, and neither will any party. But like David from Maine, it's David from Maine, right?
Yeah.
Just said his family.
Yeah.
You know, so let's work towards that. You know, let's forgive some of their sins and make it better.
Yeah, I mean,
and
we
honestly,
we have a chance to fix. Yeah, we have a chance to fix this, Wayne.
Yes, we do. Yes,
it's not. It's not broken beyond all hope like the Republican Party is.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And you know, these people put up a good front, the Republicans and all that. They are, well, you know, you've said it, I've said it, the wheels are coming off. And, you know.
Oh, they're running on rims right now.
Oh, yeah, and the rims are getting real small. There's hardly any sparks left. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
So, the people that call this show the Insight, the Bobs from North Dakota and the Jims from Beckley, West Virginia, and it's a pleasure to listen to. It's informative. It's educational. It's inspiring.
Well, I can go on and run my mouth ad infinitum, but I really would far rather have a conversation. And I don't know.
That's what makes it so great. And you know. And in another point, too, you have one of the finest producers that's ever happened. And, man, does she have good taste in music.
Cute, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know. But that's, yeah, right, she but, does.
I mean, she ought to sell her list. I mean, maybe you guys could make money or something. I don't know, you know. She has a real good taste in music.
Thanks,
and I know
Wayne.
Sometimes you disagree with her, but you know what that makes you?
Wrong.
You know, but what are you going
to do?
I'm the wrong guy.
Well, you know.
I mean,
I'm not Wayne.
I'm the source of a philosophical inquiry. If I'm speaking in the forest and my wife is not there to hear me, am I still wrong?
Wayne.
Is she? he or not?
No. See, he's the right guy. Behind every great man, there's a woman.
Well, believe me, I know that.
With a rock in her hand.
No, with a frying pan. It's not, don't tell his wife anymore. It's just, she has a frying pan.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much, man.
All right, brother. I'll be talking to you.
Take care.
Great show.
Thank you.
Bye.
And we got a few minutes left, and Rick wants to respond. Hey, Rick, you're back. You're head on.
All right, I appreciate this because this is really out of protocol, and I really appreciate it.
No, it's okay.
All right, I just want to respond to David and to Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you very much for straightening me out on this because I was really starting to go down the wrong road, and I realize it now. And so I can safely say, after the way you folks have explained it to me, that I will not vote Democrat across the board, nor I or my family. We will pick and choose to make a better America. I will only support those candidates that have real democratic principles that I believe are from FDR and the greats, like Dennis Kucinich and John Edwards.
Sure.
And John Dean. And I will not buy into this bootlicking.
There's no bootlicking. Now, Rick, you're being mean when you haul that bootlicking stuff out. There's no reason to be like that.
Well, I refuse to believe that we can't make this party what it used to be, and we have to accept these minions.
That's what two people have just said, is that we have an opportunity to fix this party, Rick.
We don't have an opportunity to fix it if we're going to have conversations that forgive people like Joseph Lieberman or the...
Did you hear... No, Rick, wait a minute. Did you hear somebody forgiving Joseph Lieberman? Because his name wasn't even mentioned.
And things like that. I mean, I just can't believe we're going to cut people slack that have sold us down the river on bankruptcy reform.
Well, you for starters,
sold us down the river on Iraq.
Rick, for starters, neither you nor I can vote for either Joseph Lieberman or Joseph Biden.
But this show gets out on the air, and Democratic Underground knows about it, and Mike Malloy knows about it, and this spreads like wildfire. It is prairie fire. This gets out a long ways.
It does.
And we just can't afford to have people believing in their states that they can forgive people like Lieberman.
I haven't advocated in that in the least. If Lieberman was gone yesterday, it wouldn't be soon enough.
No, you have not.
And Biden, the same thing. But what I'm talking
when Wayne and David say the things that they're saying, they are talking to those people. And that's where we're going to get hung.
Right, and the thing is, as long as we're engaged in a Mexican, or I'm sorry, I was about to screw up. As long as we are engaged in a circular firing squad, we are never going to win.
But at the same time, we can clean up our party and win. Are you going to tell me that the people that marched with Martin Luther King did something politically correct and were slaves to their party to get done what they got done? They went and they did what they did, bucking that party that was supposedly for them, bucking the society. That
well, why then, when the Civil Rights Act was passed, was it acknowledged by Johnson that we have just surrendered the Republic? We have just lost the American people for the next generation. They knew what they were doing. Those weren't a bunch of weak-willed sissies. The civil rights movement was working within the Democratic Party. That's why there is a voice for the civil rights movement to this day in the Democratic Party.
Freedom. There is a cost to doing what's right. For Pete's sakes, we can't claim and tell the American people that have suffered under this freakish, whatever maniacal, dreckish thing this Bush administration is and these Republican Party, these half-wits. We can't tell them we have something better for them if we're going to turn around and say, well, we're going. You have to accept our shortcomings. Why can't we stand up and be not circular firing squads, but executioners that eliminate these bad people and turn around and put good people in their place?
Then you've got to teach people.
People were asking to trust us.
Then people have to support Ned Lamont. People have to support whoever is running in Delaware. Wait a minute. Time out. Got to put you on hold, all right?
Okay.
Stand by. It's time for the news. I was about to mess up large. Let's take our break. I think maybe we got to sort this out. Nobody's talking about appeasing anybody. I'm mad as hell at my party. And I've heard Wayne in the past say that, you know, if we got to throw a bunch of people out and start up with a smaller party, we still at least know where we're starting from. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. In what some might call a contradiction in terms, the Republican House of Representatives passed an intelligence bill Thursday. The House Intelligence Committee passed the budget over Democratic attempts to hold the NSA accountable for domestic spying. The Democrats wanted to hold back on some funding until the Bush administration came clean about domestic spying. The Senate wants the Supreme Court to stop being camera shy. The Senate Judiciary Committee passed a measure Thursday calling on the High Court to allow cameras in the courtroom for oral arguments. No one expects the court to come into the light easily. A majority of the justices oppose the people of the United States being able to watch them administer justice. The Roman Catholic Church is breathing a little easier. The number of complaints filed against priests for sexually abusing children declined in 2005. Last year, only 777 people reported having been molested by God's servants. An American reporter held for 3 months by Iraqi kidnappers was released today. Jill Carroll, reporter for the Christian Science Monitor, was released this morning after being held in captivity for 3 months. Carroll was quoted as saying she wasn't sure why she was kidnapped. Some would call him a deserter, others maybe not. Joshua Key, the first U.S. deserter who has experienced combat in Iraq and who also suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder as a result, told the Canadian Immigration and Refugee Board today that he witnessed a number of atrocities in Iraq. Key said he was never trained on the Geneva Conventions and was told they were, quote, only guidelines, unquote. He also witnessed U.S. soldiers kicking a severed head around like a soccer ball. He and his family now live in Fort St. John, British Columbia. The U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency is planning to detonate a 700-ton explosive near Las Vegas, Nevada, in early June. The explosive is going to create a mushroom cloud over Las Vegas when detonated, and there is no word on how this will affect radioactive particles that exist in the former nuclear testing site where this detonation will take place. Authorities are claiming this bomb will help in their quest to penetrate, quote, bunkers housing nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons, unquote. No word on where exactly the U.S. is planning to use this weapon. As the drumbeats of war beat louder and louder in the Middle East, Iran announced Thursday following the UN Security Council resolution that it would not cease refining nuclear fuel. Iran, coincidentally, is deploying thousands of troops to the Gulf to stage a week-long military maneuver to ready its armed forces for, quote, warding off threats, unquote. This is news on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children has doubled, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children will use them. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
The sole survivor of the Sago mine disaster is out of the hospital. Randall McCloy, the lone survivor of the Sago mine disaster in West Virginia, left the hospital today under his own steam. Upon his release, McCloy said, quote, I'd just like to thank everyone for their thoughts and prayers, and I think that's it, unquote. McCloy survived 40 hours underground amid dangerous gases while his 12 co-workers died one by one. International Coal Group delayed the rescue effort for nearly 12 hours following the underground explosion that killed 12 of 13 miners underground. Michael Berg is running for Congress. He's the father of Nick Berg, who was beheaded in Iraq. Michael Berg is running for Congress in Delaware on the Green Party ticket. Berg, who is 61, acknowledges that his late entry into politics is as a result of his son's death. Berg blames George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld for the death of his son. Former White House counsel John Dean is going to testify before Congress. John Dean, counsel to Richard Nixon, was announced by Senator Russ Feingold as one of several witnesses to be called to the hearings on censure that have been scheduled for the Senate Judiciary Committee for 9:30 Friday morning. Dean played a major role in the Watergate scandal that brought down the Nixon administration. The state of Florida has subpoenaed three major voting companies. The Florida Attorney General's office has issued investigative subpoenas to the three companies certified to sell voting machines in Florida. Attorney General Charlie Crist is reviewing a dispute between the firms and Leon County's elections supervisor. Diebold Election Systems and Software, and Sequoia Voting Systems have refused to sell equipment to let disabled voters cast ballots without help in Leon County. Elections Supervisor Ian Sancho has been outspoken about his concern that the devices can be easily manipulated to change race outcomes. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
You know, I'm having a hard time fathoming that that this is going on. Okay, and I say that I'm Bob, by the way. I'm the guy when the intro was talking about. The reason I say that, though, is, you know, remember me? I'm the guy who is going to walk into his party's primary here in a little bit more than another month and leave Robert Byrd's name blank. Okay? I'm the guy who is going to, who may damned well, I don't have to vote for his opponent, but as I said before, I don't have to vote for him. And I know I get under a lot of people's skin when I say that. So I'm no slave to any party. And I am damn sure no bootlick. Now, what we're going to do here, if I can get Agnes to... There, okay. Agnes, dear, I want you to bring Rick online. Rick, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I want you to meet Wayne.
Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
Okay, Rick, how are you?
I'm good. You're one of my heroes, man. I just love listening to you all the time.
Okay, somebody's got a radio on somewhere.
I just shut mine off.
Okay.
Okay? I was right.
All right.
Yeah, man. No, I'm totally serious. As a matter of fact, every chance I get, I say, Bob, get Wayne on. This is it.
Yeah, well, listen, and if I'm mad, I want to explain something to you.
All right.
You know, when I say family, I mean, there are certain members of your family that disgrace your family and you could discard. Okay?
Yeah, I got
Joe
it.
Lieberman's one of them. What's his name from New Jersey? Biden? I can't vote for him, and I wouldn't vote for him. Who's the guy, Ned Lamont? You know, I said...
Yeah, in Connecticut, running against...
Huh?
Yeah, in Connecticut, running against Lieberman.
Running against Lieberman. You know, I sent him $50. I mean, he needs my $50 like he needs another hole in the head. He's a multi-zillionaire or something. But I want him to know that there's support from other parts of the country to get rid of Joe Lieberman. Mm-hmm. Now, Ned Lamont could end up being just like, you know, or worse than Lieberman. If that's the case, I'll send a guy, you know, whoever will run against him in six years, I guess, you know, to get rid of him. But my point
although every
was,
capo was as bad as Hitler, but I'll give you that.
Who was?
Every capo.
Okay, I agree.
Okay.
But my point is, when it comes to a point like, I mean, when you said the other night that you couldn't vote for Al Gore because of the comment he made about abortion.
It wasn't a comment. It was a policy question.
A policy question. My thing is, at that point of the game where it's between him and George Bush, you have to forgive that.
Well, he
made a misstatement.
Gentlemen,
but then you're asking me to give up something fundamentally that I believe in at the core of my very.
Okay, Rick, guys, this is going to work or it's not, and I have to be in part. I have to be a part of it.
Okay,
okay,
Rick,
I'm
making them up as I go along.
Okay, all right, it's your show. I guess you could do that.
Yeah, we have the buttons.
It's all good. Go ahead.
We have the buttons.
Yes.
What now, Rick? I want to get you said that's something that's very important to you. That's critical to your belief system, and I'm not going to challenge that. But you know, Al Gore said it would be legal right up to the moment of birth, and that really put you off, correct?
Right up to the moment of delivery.
Okay, and that really put you off.
Yes, it did.
Okay, and I guess maybe there were a lot of other people that felt that way about it. But as a very good friend of ours and a listener to the show. And a very, very intelligent man pointed out to me earlier today via email, our good buddy Michael out in Oklahoma. Something like that is highly freighted. And by that, I mean, if a woman, for instance, is giving birth to a baby who is so malformed that it is and that it has no hope of a future, no hope of a life, of any real meaning, and it's going to kill her to birth it, can she not be aborted up to the moment of birth?
Yes, she could. But
all right, then. That's
No,
Rick, that's what I'm getting at.
No, you can't do that.
Yes, I can do that.
No, because it's unfair. It's unfair to, because it's a red herring.
It's not a red herring. It happens.
When we're talking
the partial birth abortion, Rick, the partial birth abortion crap that the Republic, there's not even such a procedure.
Come on, Bob.
There is not even such a procedure as partial birth abortion. It does not exist in the medical literature. Now,
he didn't bring up a circumstance. Okay.
No, he didn't bring up a circumstance. It should be legal up to the moment of birth because those are questions that must be answered by women and their doctors, not by some damned politician.
I have a vested interest in this.
But we're running. I just wanted to interject that.
If we're going to interject this little personal thing, this little obscure part of a scenario into what it actually had gone down, then we're not going to get anywhere because this was a policy question with a policy
and the policy answer is
end up with genocide of races.
The
majority race.
The policy from the Democratic standpoint, Rick, is that it is a decision best left up to the woman and her doctor.
He should have said so.
You contributed to the Bush victory in Florida. Because of what he should have said.
Believe me, there was only like 212,000 votes nationwide for Harry Brown. And Bush won by a landslide last time I heard.
In Florida?
No matter how many counts that were done. It wouldn't matter how many counts that were done and showed that there was enough people. I mean, everybody knows that Gore won without my vote. Everybody knows it. But that wasn't what we're talking about. I based my vote on what his policy was, and that scared me. It scared me for here domestically, for races that didn't have political clout, where that maybe they would just push abortion on people that weren't the right color, and it particularly scared me for the policy across the entire globe. Because whether you know it or not, and I think you do, is that Republicans are all for abortion outside of the United States and all other
Well, actually, they're not. I mean, we,
For Pete's sake.
No, we won't fund a clinic in Africa if they offer abortion.
There are guys.
We've done that. That's policy. That's not debatable, Rick. But let's get back to the original point.
I'll send you websites and I'll show you.
That's okay, but I know what the Bush administration has done.
I'll show you exactly what your Republican friends say out and in different parts.
My Republican friends, Rick.
Oh no, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I didn't mean it. Come on.
Okay.
I'm not
okay.
You're
still there, Wayne.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, jump in, brother.
My point is, the other night you said, Bob said, well, the proper answer to that question is it's none of my damn business.
That's right.
And you agreed that if Gore would have said that, you'd have been okay with that.
Yes, I would. I believe it's a decision for the family in private, and it's nobody's business.
And it is. But my point is, that, you know, in that moment, and I don't know where that question came up on what, you know, I don't know, debate or whatever it was.
The first presidential debate, yeah.
That, you know, the guy made one mistake too far on your side, so you voted. Well, I mean, your vote went for George Bush, as far as I'm concerned. I mean.
Well, that's very unfair because I did not vote for George Bush. I voted for Harry Brown. I lodged a protest vote based on I had nowhere to go. Both candidates had left me in the dust. I mean, if you have a core belief, you cannot take a policy question that can affect so many people.
Well, let me ask you this.
We're talking about the effects are not going to be on the affluent. It's going to be the effects is going to be on the poor and third worlders. This kind of policy question, that's what it affects. That it starts from the bottom up. We're not talking about those who have, you know, a weekend abortion or can take the next day pill or whatever you talk about. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about putting into place a policy that can end up in a genocidal vein. And that's what I was afraid of.
Okay. But let me ask you one question. Do you basically support a woman's right to choose?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And, you know, and I'm glad to hear that answer. I think you made a bad decision in that. I mean, that's my opinion.
I was looking at a long dollar, and I think that you might be being a little short-sighted if you don't understand my position of what I was afraid of. Because these decisions, these types of policy decisions, they have a tendency to affect everybody on the bottom. And they don't get to the people on the top, the masses that are in control. They affect everybody on the bottom.
The last thing I want to see
is any more black babies or Navajo babies like myself or anybody else being aborted simply because the government has a policy of a quick fix to get rid of something that will be a cost to the system. And I just cannot go along with it. Not when you give such a cavalier answer
answering a policy question. Going on that, what you just said, I wouldn't agree with that either. But I don't think that's what Al Gore meant.
But he should have said what you said. He should have said, it's none of my business and it's none of the government's business. It's a tragedy. It is a medical question.
And, Rick, I wish I was there to advise him. You know, he wouldn't have made that mistake.
I wish the hell I could have.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing you complain about, Rick. You know, at that point in time, Al Gore, who says he will not run in 2008, Al Gore was being advised by Democratic strategists who know best for us.
Yeah,
and from who? The Democratic Leadership Council.
Yeah, and those are the people I'm opposed to.
But what I
keep trying to get across, and I think Wayne understands maybe. And I think you do too at a visceral level, Rick. Before we can fix the Democratic Party, we absolutely must stop the bastards who are trying to stop there from being a Democratic Party or even an American Republic anymore.
And I wish that was true, but if you're going to fight this onslaught,
it is true, Rick.
Can let me finish. This onslaught of Republican talk machine and of the masters of the soundbite and this society of ours, this American society, which has gone as much brain numb as the German citizens during Hitler's rise. If you're going to reach them, you better give them something stronger than Adolf. And stronger is not forgive my poor Democratic representative. He know not what he does. You have got to stand up and show them something different. You've got to have hardcore die for beliefs.
You're absolutely right. That's why we lost in 2002. It's why we lost in 2004, the war being a principal issue. And I think you'll both get on board with this. We did not have a clear anti-war stance.
Today, right. And this is what you're telling me that I got to support and bring that message in November to the electorate. That's what you're telling me. That I got to go out there.
No, I'm not telling you that because you don't have that message to take in 2006, Rick. You have a congressman you can probably vote for, and you have a Senate candidate you can probably vote for. You don't have a presidential candidate. You may have a couple of city county commissioners, or maybe an alderman or two, and you know, I don't know what you can do on that. The primary is all.
If we're going to take the House back, and hopefully the Senate, but at least the House, so we can have some investigations and some oversight and put a stop to this menace called the Republican Party.
Okay, Wayne, you said?
And impeachment.
I'm in the House. I'm going
to
the House.
If we're going to have that, we've got to come on in November as honest, straightforward people with a clear-cut message for the future and no compromise. And if these people... Let me tell you something. The people we're trying to win over see the same thing I do and you do and Wayne does.
Who are the people we're trying to win over?
We are trying to get back the Reagan Democrats and the independents.
They are not coming back.
They are coming back if we do the right thing. If we give them back FDR's part.
Rick, we spend a lot of time on this program identifying frauds. Those so-called centrist voters that everybody was so up in arms about and blathered on about so much during the 2004 election, they don't exist.
Well, you say so, I say they do, and that's the difference in our opinion. We can bring these people back to FDR's party if we've got the guts to give them FDR's party back.
FDR's
party. We can't do it with Hillary Clinton or the Bidens. Or the Liebermans, or any of those people.
I hope to God the people of Delaware will get rid, or not get rid of, but stop any presidential ambitions that Joseph Biden has. Get rid of him if there is a viable candidate against him. But you know what? Voting him out and letting some damn Republican have another seat in the United States Senate does us no good.
Well, and so we let my favorite guy in the entire Senate, Wellstone. Let his memory be damned and let it burn. Wellstone.
That's a straw man, Rick. Come on.
No, because this is I'm not telling you anything that Wellstone would have set up in that well and said himself. He would have said exactly what I'm saying. I'm convinced of it. He would not have compromised. He would not have said forgive. Try to offer the American people.
Hey, Rick, Paul Wellstone was in the Senate with Joe Biden. Paul Wellstone was in the Senate with Joseph Lieberman. Paul Wellstone,
Wellstone was the man.
Yeah, and he was in the Senate with all of those people, and he was not standing up at every opportunity and screaming for them to be thrown out of office. So
I watched C-SPAN a lot.
Don't turn him into John Henry the steel-driving man. He was a great guy.
What? He's pretty damn close. He's pretty damn close. Because he got up there and every day in morning business and every chance he got, and he pointed out the faults of both sides. He did a great job. And to lose him was one of the worst things
that ever happened. Horrifying. Okay, Wayne, last word real quick.
Yeah, well, just for the record, I have never voted a straight ticket and never will.
And neither have I.
Okay, and that is because a lot of people that call themselves Democrats are not Democrats.
That's right.
I pick who I vote for. I have voted for one Republican in my life, and that's when I lived in Vermont, and his name was Jim Jeffords, and the only reason he called himself a Republican is because he was confused.
And my very first vote was for Mondale. Come on, give me some slack, guys.
All right.
I'll give you some slack. I love you, brother. I don't hate you. I just want to have a conversation.
I know. But I'm not we've got to get this right. There's so much at stake. Our nation, the world, the Iraqi people, and maybe the Iranian.
But you're making my point with you, for me.
Oh, breaking news, guys. This coming from one of the folks in the chat room. Lieberman booed at Connecticut State Democratic Party dinner tonight.
Yeah! Oh, I wish I was there to boo with him.
Yeah!
All right.
Okay, guys, I'm going to roll on, all right?
All right,
good night,
buddy.
To everybody.
We're on the same page.
Take care, brothers.
See you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okie dokie. Let's see. Let's go to our good friend Steve on line 5. Hey, Steve, you're head on.
How you doing?
How you doing, hey, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing pretty good. I think you've been addressing, for those of you who don't know, this is our good friend Steve Nicholas running for House of Delegates here in the state of West Virginia, a good liberal who doesn't mind calling himself a liberal, right?
Right.
And you've addressed some of these the very issues we were talking about in the conversation between Wayne and Rick, the issue of abortion, among other things, because in your campaign you have been approached by some weirdos, have you not?
That's giving them a euphemism, but yeah.
I mean, real uterus fascists, or whatever we might call them.
Yeah, I mean, some of these people. They make the West Virginians for Life group almost sound moderate by comparison, and that's saying something.
Yeah, because those people are truly bizarre. So yeah, what did you get from them, Steve?
Well, as a lot of people realize, when you run for office, you get a lot of questionnaires in the mail asking your questions as to whether or not you'll get endorsements or what have you. And I got from this group that calls itself Life Gauge, and I sent you the link earlier. I don't know if you had a chance to look them up or not, but it basically, instead of sending a questionnaire so that you could actually talk, and when they ask what's your view on this, instead they basically, what they are really is they're just a big bunch of bullies, because instead of actually asking your opinion, they send you these threatening things, and if you vote pro-choice one time, you get an F. If you vote the way they want you to every time, but you don't go along with them, you get a D. And basically what they want people to do is write nuisance bills and clog up the Senate in an effort to embarrass committee chairs to kill bills. And you've only got 60 days to work, and stuff like that keeps us from doing the important things that need to be done.
Because there are real issues out there, and abortion is not one of them.
And not only that, I mean, even if you think it's a real issue, it's already been decided on the federal level anyway.
Right. So, you know, we just want to, you know, there are people that would like to get West Virginia in line with South Dakota and Mississippi. I don't think we want to be part of that club.
No, and the thing of it is that all bills like that do, if you're really opposed to abortion, all that's going to do is just make people have abortions later. And if you're going to complain about having abortions later in the pregnancy, why are you going to exacerbate the problem? Because it's going to take people more money, like if they're in South Dakota, if they have to save up and make the drive over to Minnesota or something, by the time they get that money saved up, it's going to be that much longer until they terminate.
Right. Well, I tell you, no, go ahead.
And, I mean, to me, instead of just focusing narrowly on the issue of abortion, I prefer to call it reproductive rights, because a lot of these same people, they don't just focus on abortion. Pretty much they do whatever they can to try to make a woman's uterus government property. Because these are the same people who, when it comes time to, when these people came out in, I think it was Wisconsin a few months ago, these pharmacists trying to refuse to prescribe or fill prescriptions for contraception, it was these so-called pro-life groups that went along with it. And all that's going to do is that's just going to make for more unwanted pregnancies and lead to more abortions. So, and all the evidence has shown that if you want to get rid of abortion, you got to decrease the poverty level, because that's the reason why abortion went down every year under Clinton's watch and went up every year under Bush's watch.
But, you know, in that report card thingy that you received from these monsters, you see the real nature of what their game is. Their game isn't children's lives. Their game isn't children's well-being. They don't give a tinker's damn about a baby that's born or unborn. What they care about is the fact that this has provided them a mechanism by which they have been able to lasso political power.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. These people really want to see abortion criminalized anyway, because if they do, they lose their issue, and they know that they're in the minority.
Absolutely.
That'll mobilize those of us who do support reproductive rights.
You're absolutely right, Steve, because that exact thing went down. I mentioned it a couple of nights ago. That exact thing went down in Mississippi. Now, the Mississippi House of Representatives passed, because the Republicans in Mississippi said, oh, we got to protect the innocent unborn life. And they passed them. And so the Democrats in the Democrat controlled House, they passed an anti-abortion bill. They passed an abortion ban that was probably meaner than South Dakota's. Okay. And they took it to the president of the Mississippi Senate, which is Republican controlled. And they said, baby, you wanted it. Here it is. Sign it. And the Republican senator who runs the Mississippi Senate said, I won't sign that. Now, what do you tell pro-lifers in Mississippi about their pro-life Republican Party?
Well, so that's the thing, though. It's about time somebody finally gets some sense and stands up to these people.
Yeah. How's the campaign going, Steve?
It's been going kind of slow. I'm more or less trying. I got my first campaign finance report, and I'm putting the finishing touch on the paperwork. It seems like I've kept the cold on and off the last few months, but the main reason why I was calling is we had a couple of Meet the Candidate forums. I'll be seeing a couple of Meet the Candidate forums for those people in the northern part of the state. I'll be at the State Young Democrats Convention at the Mountain Lair in Morgantown at 7:00. And
what day?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay.
And on Sunday at 2:00 at the Jackson County Farm in Cottageville, I'll be at the Meet the Candidates Forum there.
Well, those will be. At what time are both of them?
The one at Morgantown is at 7:00, and the one at Cottageville is at 2:00.
Okay. And remind us again, please, Steve, of the website?
www.geocities.com/Steve4WV.
Okay, and you officially do not have any primary opposition, correct?
Correct.
So, you said it had been a little slow right now, but you rather expected it to be that way.
Yeah.
And frankly, yeah. Slow in front of a primary is good, because it won't be slow afterwards. And frankly, God knows you're going to be running like a man going out of a burning house come Labor Day around here.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. There is that I don't want to wake up on November 8th and saying I could have done more. I want to honestly say that I did everything I could. I mean, obviously, I want to win a Senate. I want to win the state House seat, but if I don't, it's not going to be for a lack of trying, I'll tell you that. It's not going to be for a lack of standing up for principle.
That's how it has to be.
I mean, the conversation with Rick on the phone, the thing I don't understand about that is that, I mean, even in these multi-party systems, the way it usually works there is that it's more or less a two-party system anyway, because you've got two major coalitions. So it seems to me sort of like a six and one half of this than the other thing.
Well, there is that element.
And look at what happened in Germany when neither side got a majority last year. I mean, is that what we want here?
No, I don't think so. The problem we have here is the question of how to fix the Democratic Party, Steve. I mean, and so, I don't know. On the one hand, sometimes I think worrying about fixing the Democratic Party right now is probably not the best expenditure of our energies. I mean, if the dog's pooping on the rug in the corner of the room and there's a guy with a gun busting through the door, spanking the dog is not your first priority.
Well, to me, I think that what you got to do when you get these DLC people
I mean, run against him in the primary. Do like Ned Lamont's doing.
That's the key. That's the thing we've got to understand. I've preached it a lot, Steve, is that the primary system does not, we don't pay attention to it like we ought to. You know, that's where progressives have a chance. You know, if the guy running in the general isn't liberal enough to suit you, you're licked already. Because you've got a Democrat or you've got a weirdo.
Yeah, I mean, the thing of it is, like, even in a state like ours, I mean, I hate to say this, but when you have a party that's dominated so long and another party that all of a sudden decided 5 years ago, hey, we're going to take a serious shot at this, it's almost like you got three parties in the state. You got the liberal to moderate Republicans, you got or liberal to moderate Democrats, you got the conservative Democrats, and you got the Republicans. So really a lot of it is controlled by the conservative Democrats because they're the swing vote. And if you don't like that, make sure more liberal Democrats get out of the primary.
Exactly. I mean, we've got, you know, we've got a lot of committed people out there who are really busting their rear ends, but they're doing it in causes where they can't, or they're doing it in their own causes and can't and won't necessarily get into the political arena where we need them desperately.
I mean, that's the thing, though, because a lot of people seem to focus on, like, one issue, or even ironically, the last couple of presidents we've had young Democrats, I mean, they're pretty good on the issues, but the guy who was the president of the WVU my last year as vice president was a Republican turned Democrat when he was like 17, and the other one, the guy who's going to become the president next month, he became a Democrat only after the 2004 election. And, I mean, that's the thing, though, is that eventually you've got to stand up at the end of the day. And it's like every time I've gone to Congress, like if I ask them a question, something I've heard a lot of them say is you can't let the perfect get in the way of the good.
Yeah, I've heard that some, too.
Because, I mean, people might not be perfect, but, like, whoever he's got, I'm not saying vote straight party, but if it's a close race, you can't afford to vote third party.
No.
Because it's like in the 2004 elections, I looked at it and I said, okay, what are the chances of things going down? And I mean, I'll tell you the truth, I voted for Jesse Johnson because I was a little bit disappointed with our nominee, and I think he's done a better job this year, but than he did last year, definitely. But I guarantee that if Joe Manchin needed my vote, I wouldn't have let that slumlord Monty Warner become the governor.
Right. You know, that's sort of the painful position I'm in with Senator Byrd right now. I will not, you know, the fact that I don't vote for the other guy doesn't mean I have to vote for him. And I will not vote for Robert Byrd in the primary here in a month or so. I won't do it. He left me out in the cold when I needed him on Samuel Alito. And so I don't, you know, I owe him nothing. And I know you don't have to agree, and that's a harsh thing to say. But, you know, the real rubber is going to meet the road if John Racey is running a close race against him in November.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though, because, like, even if you're against Burr with every fiber of your being, I mean, I got to admit, I was disappointed about it, but I'll vote for Burr because he's done a lot. And, I mean, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree on this one, but.
Well, that's why I'm talking about the primary. He doesn't need my vote in the primary.
Yeah, but if he needs the vote in November, I mean, that's the big thing.
Oh, yeah, because he's miles and away better than that insane man who runs West Virginia Radio Corporation.
Yeah.
Racy.
Or even Hiram Lewis, for that matter.
Oh, God. Hiram.
The guy was a JAG officer, and I remember in 2004, that he was talking about, I didn't go fight in Iraq just to be denied my First Amendment rights to debate at home. I mean, yeah, I'd agree with him that maybe Daryl McGraw should have debated him, but
I'll tell you right now, I didn't fight in Iraq, and I was closer to the front lines than he was.
Sure.
So, and I won't tell people I fought in Iraq. I'll say I went to Iraq. I'll say I was in the war, but I'll never try to mislead people and say that I was something I wasn't.
Yeah, and, yeah, JAG officers weren't doing any fighting in Iraq or anywhere else.
And not only that, you know, he was wasting most of their time in Kuwait.
Oh, these, you know, they're so very similar. Hey, Steve, thanks very much for the call tonight, and best of luck. I hope folks could maybe get out and say howdy to you either tomorrow evening up in Morgantown, or you said Saturday at the Jackson County, or Sunday at the Jackson County Farm in Cottageville, West Virginia, 2:00.
Yeah, I'll be at both, and I'll be pressing the flesh and hopefully getting some volunteers out there, because May 9th, easy stuff's over, and we're going to need to get out there on all 8 cylinders come May 10th.
That's the absolute truth. And that's geocities.com/steve4wv.com.
www.geocities.com/steve4wz.
I'm sorry, I got too many dot coms in there. And
sometime soon, I'm gonna get a feature so you can pay online. So probably in the next week or two, pay attention for that, because I just gotta get the paperwork and everything ironed out.
Are you getting some support that way? I mean, are you getting some support and some backing for the campaign?
A lot of the institutional people, like, I've got some help in terms of, like, research facilities and stuff for the state party, but for the, as far as money goes, everybody's pretty much said that they want to wait until after the primary.
Win the primary first, yeah.
So,
well, you're lucky in that regard, because you don't have to. I mean, you really don't have to win one. It's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, it's one of these things. If I end up losing a write-in, then I guess I'll know it wasn't that city.
Steve, you have yourself a great night.
You too.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Our good friend Steve Nicholas, running for House of Delegates out of Jackson County, West Virginia. Real liberal needs real support. geocities.com/steve4wv. Go have a look. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you smile?
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
That's your Dancing Agnes music. I'm Bob Kincaid. We're back. Heavy duty tonight, gang. I want to share something with you real quick before I run back to the phones one more time. This is something that was sent to me by our good friend Michael out in Oklahoma, and it is a note to Bishop John Shelby Spong, one of the leading Christian thinkers out there. By thinker, I mean not affiliated with the religion industry. But it was an abortion question. And an OBGYN, an MD from Duke University, wrote to Bishop Spong, "With regards to abortion, I did not do them for birth control. However, I have done them for medical indications. I tried to avoid the psychiatrist since they all said the patient would go crazy if not aborted. Maybe that's an exaggeration. I did a late-term abortion for a woman with cancer of the cervix. I also lifted the ovaries out of the radiation paths. I was so sure that the baby would be born dead at C-section that I didn't have a pediatrician present. The baby came out screaming and still living as far as I know. I also delivered a woman with idiopathic myocarditis. We carried her until the baby would survive, and then we delivered her. She was on anticoagulants that we reversed for the delivery. 6 weeks later, I tied her tubes, and she died that night. We just couldn't win with that one. I also did a C-section on one lady with pheochromocytoma. The baby died out. The baby died, but the mother survived after the tumor was removed. My daughter-in-law had a normal pregnancy and then had a baby with Down syndrome. Her next pregnancy resulted in a diagnosis of Turner syndrome. There was also another broken chromosome. The diagnosis was made by chorionic villus sampling. Since there was a high chance of mental retardation, I advised her to have an abortion. I can't imagine making a person have a baby with those kind of problems when it can be avoided. She's now 5 months pregnant with a normal girl. I think a lot of diseases warrant having an abortion. Most of the heart diseases with valve disease and heart failure are grounds for abortion. It has to be individualized. If one can get past the second trimester, there's less stress on the heart, the fluid volume in the You see, this is science. This isn't something for some know-nothing that believes that the earth is 5,000 years old and that a cave woman had a conversation with a gossipy water moccasin. This is hard science. This isn't something to be decided by some pasty-faced, doughy white guy with a standing in a pulpit, thinking that God speaks the language of Elizabethan England. The guy goes on and says, "I saw a lot of women who died of clostridium infections from backroom abortions. I wouldn't want to go back to that. So in answer to your question, Bishop Spong, I do believe in abortions at any time. I don't think you can make a law that makes everybody happy. It's still up to the doctor and patient. Every day there are new advances in genetics, and all these problems will change. There are evil, evil people out there who literally... And understand this with the so-called pro-life industry. They manipulate, and they will... These people will manipulate unborn babies for political power, because this is not a political question. This is a question of science, and science and medicine only, to be made between a woman and her doctor. And anyone who says anything else is not only mean and hateful and stupid, but pretty crazy, too. These are medical questions, period. The United States, under the Bush administration, withheld funding for third world nations that would have, among other things, helped stop the spread of AIDS. Because some of the money might have been used to counsel either abortion or, here's the fun part, birth control. Call it reproductive health issues, I call it a freedom issue. Because as soon as they get to criminalize abortion outright, well, the camel's nose is pretty well under the tent, isn't it? What's next? You know, we are, after all, talking about a sect of individuals who, like I said, you know, the thing with the cave woman Eve and the talk and the gossipy water moccasin. They believe the earth is 5,000 years old. They believe that the sun revolves around the earth. You know, all that garbage. You know, they believe that
oh, what is it? Onan. Yeah, Onan was cursed because he spilled his seed on the ground rather than sleep with his dead brother's wife. They believe that. So if Onan was cursed for spilling his seed upon the ground, then so too they want the right to take away condoms. They want the right to take away birth control pills because that is their ultimate goal. The real weirdos. Now most of them are just pure Machiavellian politicians who want political power, but there is a core of them who want absolute theocratic power over people's bodies, and it's no different than what goes on in the new Afghan democracy. I said it again, Afghan democracy. You get my meaning, because if that's a sin, because remember, it says in Deuteronomicus that it's a sin to eat shellfish. It's a sin to wear clothes that are of different fibers. It's a sin to for a woman to wear the raiment of a man, or the man to wear the raiment of the woman, even though nobody could tell the difference back then because they were all wearing bathrobes. They believe this stuff literally, and they're freaks. And so, you know, if Onan was cursed by God for putting his seed upon the ground, then that means, well, you understand. They are to be feared, and they are to be fought desperately. Let's go back to the phones. Bob is rejoining us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on. Sorry you had to wait, man.
I know. It's getting late, I know. But I don't want to take deference with anybody. I just want to say this. If you have never held a dying child in your arms to its last breath, you don't know the pits of hell it'll take your soul into. Okay?
Yeah.
If you have never done that thing, then shut the hell up. If you have never been there, if that child is from your wife's uterus, from her womb, and you have waited and prayed and loved that baby in the womb, and doctors have withheld information from you that the child was not going to live long after birth, and then in the hospital sent you home with a dying child, okay? And then you found that child so sickly that you took it back to the same hospital for emergency services, and then after $100,000 out of your pocket and your insurance drained for that child, and then have to bring the child home from Rochester, Minnesota, screaming across the state with his mind so terribly destroyed by the ineptitude of and the incompetence of quack doctors, then don't you ever speak to me. And if you come from any state that will not allow people to make the decision, and not the doctors, and not the lawyers, and not the damn state legislature or the president of this nation, then don't you come near me, boy, because I'll put you in the ground quicker than I did my boy after he died in my arms, screaming. So don't you talk to me about abortion. If we had known that Richard would be born so abnormally that there would be nothing, that all of medicine, all of the great doctors in the Mayo Clinic and in Rochester, Minnesota, could do for him, could do nothing for him, but to send us back here with a child. And I prayed God he wouldn't die until he reached my home. And I sat in my favorite chair, and I still to this day have his scent in, wrapped on a shirt that he died in my arms. So don't you tell me about abortion. Because if we had known that Richard would go through the terrible, horrible death that he went through, we would have, in the first time in our lives, allowed that procedure to be performed for his sake and not for yours. You screaming Mimi down there in Florida, I want you, boy.
I'm sorry, Bob.
I understand.
I had a son die in my arms that I could do nothing for. That medicine could do nothing for. Doctors, lawyers, and...
Right. The law is useless.
It's useless. It's
Religion is useless. Everything, you know, these are medical decisions, and that's all they are.
If we had had competent doctors, and they asked us at the Mayo Clinic, did you have ultrasound done on this child? And we said, yes, 5 times. And they said, what? This is a simple thing. It's just something they would have noticed within the first ultrasound. And then we said, well, they kept having us come back for ultrasounds. And that meant that the doctors knew that the child was abnormal, but didn't tell us because we had insurance and we had money and we could spend the money. And I spent over $100,000 out of pocket besides the insurance to try to keep that child alive. So don't you tell me it was for anything other than the money. They knew I had pockets deep enough to go into, and they took me for the money. They didn't care that Richard would die horribly in my arms. So don't you give me this stuff about we're trying to abort black children or Navajo children or anything like that. If there is a medical thing, and there's nothing that science can do for them, nothing, then the parents have to make that decision, and no one else. And I don't care. Albert Gore and John Kerry were absolutely right. Even up to the moment of birth, if there is something medical that's going to cause that child, I don't, you know, and or the mother, so much trauma or even death, it has to be the decision of the parents and the doctor and no one else. No one else. No one. And so when these... I'm sorry, Bob.
No, that's okay, Bob. It's very well said, and I feel like if this show goes on for another 50 years, we're pretty well done with the abortion discussion now.
But it's got to end right there. It's not up to politicians. It's up to parents, and it's a decision between the woman and her doctor and no one else, and anyone that steps in the way of that, anyone. I know I live north of that border that they call South Dakota, and that darling woman, that chief of the Oglala Sioux,
that will open her own clinic.
That's absolutely right.
Because there's not a damn thing that South Dakota can do about it. Bob, we're out of time.
Okay.
Gotta go, brother.
Praise, just...
I understand. We all do.
Listen, cast iron.
Yeah.
The skillet has to be cast iron.
It is.
That's what Glenda said.
It's cast iron, Bob. It's cast iron on its 100.